April in Toronto. The grounds crew working on the field right now, putting that turfus or dry dust or whatever you want to call it on the muddy track in the infield. A lot of standing water, a lot of puddles. It's shiny out there, and it seems like it's a very, very slick and dangerous place to play. We saw Drew Hutchison having some trouble holding on to the baseball, gripping the baseball. Joe West is the crew chief, and really that says it all. Joe West wants to get five innings in and make this an official game. I don't know if either the Blue Jays or the Orioles are terribly interested in doing that right now. And now you see the wisdom of the decision to not use any Blue Jays regulars in this game. In the pouring rain and the unsafe conditions in which the Orioles and Blue Jays are playing right now. The weather is only going to get worse throughout the day, which is one of the reasons to try to get this game in. But on the other hand, it's a game that really doesn't mean anything. And as far as the rules are concerned, right now the Blue Jays have a one-game lead on the Kansas City Royals for the top spot overall in the American League and home ice advantage throughout the playoffs. That is the only consideration right now. Otherwise, the Blue Jays and the Kansas City Royals, but the Royals aren't a factor in this game. Otherwise, the Blue Jays have nothing to play for. These games are meaningless. If this game gets rained out and the Blue Jays finish the season ahead of the Kansas City Royals, because there would be the two teams would not be playing the same number of games, so they can't finish tied. But if the Blue Jays finish the season a half game ahead of the Kansas City Royals or more, then this game would never have to be played. The only way this game is necessary is if the Blue Jays finish the season a half game behind the Kansas City Royals, because the Jays own the tiebreaker with Kansas City. So then the Blue Jays would go to Baltimore on Monday, replay this game for home field advantage in the American League Championship Series. But other than that, there is no circumstance in which this game would need to be replayed. We'll see. They're working on the field. The grounds crew is talking to Joe West, the crew chief, showing him radar images on their smartphones and seeing it. This is in the complete control of the crew chief right now. Joe West has been around this game for a very long time. He definitely has a reputation as a guy who likes to make things about Joe West. I don't know if this qualifies, but there really does seem to be no reason to put this game into a rain delay. And again, it is not in an official rain delay right now. They are working on the infield. They're putting that drying agent on the grass and trying to make this infield playable so that the Blue Jays and Orioles can play four more innings. We're going to keep it here until we get to the point where Tyler Wilson gets back on the mound and starts to warm up, and now it looks like they're pulling out the tarp. Yeah, so it appears as though sanity has emerged victorious in Baltimore, and the grounds crew is getting things ready, and this game is going into a rain delay. The home plate umpire, Rob Drake, is going over to talk to John Gibbons, and John Gibbons is going to ask, why didn't you do this 20 minutes ago when it was pouring and dangerous and Drew Hutchison had a couple of balls slip out of his hand and come very close? Well, he hit Jonathan Scope on the arm with one pitch up and in, and he just missed Stephen Pierce on the chin. We are now 6 minutes into an official rain delay, because once you stop, that's when you start the clock. It would have counted as a delay if they had gone back onto the field. And the rain continues in Baltimore. The deal is, well, now that there is an official rain delay, we will have an official rain delay program. So phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take your calls all the way until this game gets restarted. or called. And again, if the game does get called, it will need to be replayed on Monday in Baltimore only if the Blue Jays are one half game behind the Kansas City Royals at close of business on Sunday. In any other circumstance, this game does not get replayed. Phone lines are open, and you're jamming them already, which is awesome. So we're going to give Josh Goldberg a chance to try to get to every one of you. If you are on a line that is ringing right now, and I know several of you are, just hang on, and Josh will get to you as soon as possible. If you can't get through, hang up and try again. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays are in an official rain delay. The official scorer in Baltimore has just announced, and thanks to Dan Connolly of the Baltimore Sun for tweeting this, the official scorer has just announced it is a delay for rain / field improvement / whatever. So there you go. The Blue Jays clinched the American League East yesterday afternoon, which is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It is their first American League East Division championship in 22 years. Another banner is going up at Rogers Center, and we hope a few more banners are going to be going up at Rogers Center this year. If you want to talk about the clinch, which is less than 24 hours old, more than happy to take your calls about the Blue Jays clinching the American League East, setting up a division series. They could play in that American League division series, which opens a week from today. They could play any of the Yankees, Twins, Rangers, Astros, or Angels. We don't know yet. It may or may not depend on the American League wildcard game. If the Blue Jays do not finish ahead of the Kansas City Royals for first overall in the American League, it will likely be the Texas Rangers. Seem to be on their way to clinching the AL West. They have a four-game series with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim while Houston is at Arizona to finish up the series. The Astros are off today. The Rangers, with one win, clinch at least a tie for that division title. Their magic number is 2. If this game is called, if they do not restart, none of the statistics count. Everything's reset to 0. And if they do replay it, if they are forced to replay it on Monday, then they would start fresh from the beginning. And you know what? It would probably be Drew Hutchison getting the start again on Monday. Although you never know, you could potentially use a host of different guys, and it would probably be a good idea to start the regulars. You want to take the game seriously. David Price is going to start Thursday, so you could potentially start Marcus Stroman in that Monday game, R.A. Dickey in that Monday game, use a few guys for 3 innings each to kind of keep them fresh. All sorts of options if this game needs to be replayed. But once again, if this game doesn't finish, if they don't restart it, or if they do restart it and they can't get through 5, the weather's supposed to be terrible in Baltimore today. That's why they moved the start time up 7 hours. If they can't get this game going again, or if they don't get through 5, the only way this game would have to be replayed would be if the Blue Jays are a half game behind the Kansas City Royals on Sunday, after the games on Sunday. The tarp is out, but it's not down. There are small pieces of tarp over the pitcher's mound and over the home plate area. The other large piece of tarp that would cover the infield is ready, but it hasn't been placed on the field yet. Not quite sure what they're waiting for, but we're in a rain delay in Baltimore, and it is time to begin the rain delay program. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Bobby is in Cabbage Town. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the rain delay program.
A tremendous Thursday to you, Michael.
And to you.
What a glorious time to be in Hogtown and a Jays fan.
It is indeed.
A simple question. Who's going to run the eighth inning for us? And is Liam Hendricks one of the guys that could be considered for that role, considering how awesome he's been all year?
No. Liam Hendricks is not one of the guys who will be considered for that eighth inning role. Right now, it appears that any of Brett Cecil, Mark Lowe, and Aaron Sanchez, and LaTroy Hawkins even, can handle that eighth inning or a piece of that eighth inning. Absolutely not Liam Hendricks. Hendricks has been terrific all year. It's true. He had the little hiccup yesterday, and that's going to drive his ERA up because it's three runs with zero innings pitched, and that's too bad. But there have been great discrepancies in Liam Hendricks' numbers when pitching with the lead or when pitching with the Blue Jays trailing. And the fact of the matter is those other guys are all better. Lowe, Cecil, Sanchez, Hawkins. Aaron Sanchez's last two outings have been fantastic. Brett Cecil's been incredible since the end of June. Mark Lowe has been great. LaTroy Hawkins, now that he's healthy again, has been great again. So those are going to be the guys who will work late in games to set up Roberto Osuna. Thank you for the call, Bobby. Appreciate it. And we will get to more calls on the rain delay program, but we're going to check back in at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We are in minute 15 of this rain delay, and Joe Siddle joins us. Joe, what do you see out there?
A big mess. You know, it looks like what they're doing is they're using that. I don't know what the official name of that stuff is. I keep calling it diamond dust. Some people call it kitty litter. Some people call it turfus.
I just call it the drying agent.
It's bags. There's bags and bags and bags being used. It's all over the field. They've been sprinkling it around and raking it around, and it looks to me like they're going to get the field in playing shape because that stuff basically absorbs all the moisture and the water that was on the field. And the rain has actually lightened up a little bit now, but if it were to rain some more, I think they're fixing the field up to potentially put the tarp on it so that you will have a rain delay, but then when the rain delay is done, the field would be pretty well in playing condition. You don't want to put a tarp on a field that's basically full of water and muck. So it looks to me like a lot of that turfus is being used. They're covering it up. They have the strings out. They're lining the first and third base lines. So they're getting the field ready. Now, if they get it all ready and it stays very light, it's just a light mist right now, maybe they'll get ready to resume right away. But they do have the tarp cover off. And now as I'm speaking, it looks like most of those groundskeepers that were raking on the infield are now behind the tarp. And it looks like they are about to roll it out and therefore put it on the field. I'll keep you posted as I'm watching.
All right, that's cool. These are the things that we want to know. I know that you and Jerry both said that it was ridiculous conditions that they were being made to play in the bottom of the first. Not to make an excuse for Drew Hutchison, of course, but you've been through, I mean, you played in the minor leagues for a long, long time. I'm sure they made you play in some pretty horrible conditions in your day.
Yeah, there's no question. You'd play in a pretty messy conditions, but I'll be honest with you, and I said it on the broadcast, I'm not so sure I've ever seen what I saw today, especially on a major league field, but I'm not even sure I've seen it on a minor league field. It was really bad, and I kind of half joked and said it felt like I was watching a high school game, but you know, in amateur baseball and kids, you do everything you can to get games in because time is so valuable and fields are so valuable. But yeah, I don't think I've ever seen, there was standing water on the field. I can't wait to hear some of the reactions from some of the players. We'll probably get them after the game, but I'm sure they're all going to be basically echoing what I'm saying. It was an absolutely ridiculous situation. Pete Walker and John Gibbons, you guys probably caught it on the monitors, they were in the dugout looking out to the field, rubbing their fingers together, saying the pitcher's not going to be able to grip the baseball. And again, not to mention the infield grass is soaked. Any ball that's hit, it's going to be tough for fielders. So again, I think the biggest thing is once the risk of injury comes into play, which it certainly was, you've got to call the game. And I mean, you kept showing Joe West over there, and he's just standing there again like he's in charge, and he is the crew chief, but just a very poor decision, I think, on his part today.
What do you think of the fact that, you know, you said you can't wait to hear the reaction from some of the players who are out there. We may not get a reaction from Joe West. Umpires are not required to answer questions after the game. They can if they want, but they can also refuse.
Yeah, it's too bad because I think they should be held accountable. And I think in this case, I'm sure what the answer from Joe West you would get is that he's doing everything again to try to get this ball game in. And I think both teams respect that. They want to get five innings in and get out of town as well. But to a certain extent, and the extent we saw today was absolutely ridiculous that they were still on that field.
With Joe Siddall, who's live at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, we're in a rain delay. The Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, it's 3-0 Orioles after one inning of play. But if they don't get five in, that doesn't count. What's the tarp update right now?
It looks like it's been rolled from the first baseline out to center field, and they're pulling it the one piece back now towards right field. And usually that's the first move before it's pulled the other way now to cover the infield. So I think that's what's about to happen as we speak. They've got about 15 groundskeepers from center field all the way to the right field line. And as I am speaking, I think will be the final pull, and here it comes, and they're going to cover the field. So the diamond dust is all on the field. They've raked it all in. I don't even want to say it looks playable. It looks like a sandpit, to be honest with you. The whole infield clay looks like a beach right now, but home plate is covered. Pitcher's mound is covered. The infield is now being totally covered by the tarp. So my guess would be that the tarp will stay on until this weather passes, and I haven't taken a peek at the Doppler lately, nor do I really care to because I don't believe those things half the time. You just never know.
It's true. You absolutely never know. We know the weather was supposed to be pretty terrible today and even worse tonight, which is why they moved the time of the game back, which helped them get one whole inning in. The conditions make it a moot point anyway, not starting the regulars in this game. You wouldn't want Jose Bautista and Josh Donaldson and Kevin Pillar and all those guys out on the field today playing in this crap, trying to make sure that they don't get hurt. But there are, you know, despite the fact that I asked on Twitter earlier for a 24-hour moratorium on complaining about the Blue Jays, there are a lot of fans who are upset that the B team is out there for a second straight game with the first place overall in the American League still hanging in the balance. What do you think, Joe?
Well, it's interesting you ask, Mike. I was on with Blair and Barker just before the ball game, and they asked the same question. I was surprised. I honestly thought we would probably see Bautista, Edwin, Donaldson on the bench today, but I thought we might see Revere, Pillar, Goins, maybe some of those. And I was a little bit surprised, but I think with the game change time down to noon today, and of course it was a late night for everyone, I think John Gibbons is probably also thinking of the conditions of the field. It's supposed to be a rainy on and off day, but not to mention it's a quick turnaround. And the other thing you don't want to risk is guys like that tweaking a hammy or tweaking an oblique or something just from not preparing properly. So I think I've gotten to the point this season now where I trust the decisions that are being made. I think everyone has a legitimate gripe and beef that, you know, you want your somewhat of an A squad in there. These games are still valuable. But I think what John Gibbons, the message he is sending right here is while it is valuable to get first overall and put the winning team on the field, it's also more valuable and a priority to keep all of his horses healthy. And I think that's the decision that was made here today.
It does seem absolutely that way. And it's a good thing to say you trust what the Blue Jays are doing, because really, what have they, you know, what decisions have they made lately that have paid off? They just clinched the division less than 24 hours ago.
Right. Everything's golden. That's right.
Everything. Now, if you do have to come back to Baltimore on Monday, that's got to be all hands on deck and almost treat it like your first playoff game.
Well, I would think so, because you just said it. If they do come back here Monday, it's because it's for home field all throughout the American League playoffs. So I think you mentioned too that with Monday, you're looking at now you can get your starting pitchers, probably a Stroman if he's due to pitch Friday. It could be his day, but you could go a few innings with a few guys, with a Dickey also. So it changes things dramatically, and I think it's so different than the scenario that's playing out here today after clinching the American League East last night and celebrating deep into the night and turning around for a quick noon game here. It changes the semantics dramatically, and I think you're exactly right. You'll probably see more of the horses on a day like that because, again, you want to get them going and ready to roll for game one of the playoffs on Thursday.
And, you know, it's probably a better scenario now, as much as you want to have downtime to rest after a season. It's probably a better scenario right now that this game is rained out and you go back to Baltimore on Monday if need be, because right now, you have the B team in. You're already down 3-0. And this game, you know, you don't want to put the cart before the horse or anything like that, but this game, odds are, with a trailing by 3 with the lineup the Blue Jays have in right now, odds are that this game is going to be a loss. If you get the rain out, you're not losing today, and you have a chance to turn this game into a win later if you need it.
And not only that, but you're playing baseball closer to game one of the series. You know, it's interesting in this game how it's such a game of routine. These guys play basically every day for 6 months with the odd day off. But then you get to the playoffs and you have all these stops and stoppages where you've got 3 days off before your series starts. And then you win a series and you've got 4 or 5 or 7 days off before the next series starts. And so the whole schedule that these guys maintain throughout the course of an entire season, you get to the playoffs and it's just all thrown to the side and they're thrown for a loop. Now it's the same for every team, but for a game that you play, that's one thing we say about baseball, it's different than all of the other sports in that you play every single day. But then you get to the most meaningful games of the season and you have all these changes. So it's unfortunate, but we know that it has to work that way because different series last different numbers of games. And, of course, television comes in, too, to play. But I think it'd be better to have maybe two days off before game one on Thursday rather than the full 3 days. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But the funny thing about it is you don't have a whole lot of control over that because if they say you got to come back here Monday, you got to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. But if they do, at least they're coming back for a meaningful game before the playoffs where they can be pretty fully stacked. Otherwise, they get the time off. So assuming that the tarp is now rolled out and on the field and we're going to sit tight and wait and let you get down to the Sunday machine downstairs.
Well, thank you. Yes, the tarp is fully out on the field. The Blue Jays bullpen has emptied. They are all gone inside, and the Orioles bullpen is kind of half and half. Looks like half the guys have walked in. The other half are going to wait it out in the bullpen.
All right, Joe. Appreciate your time. We will check in with you a little bit later on. Thank you. And, yeah, go have a Sunday for me. It's actually not downstairs. It's up on the broadcast level. The guys on in the writers have to come upstairs to get to the Sunday machine, but we don't. At Camden Yards. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay. Again, it's 3-0 Baltimore, end of one. If this game is called before it becomes official, if they don't get back on the field or if they do get back on the field but can't finish 5 innings, then it could be canceled or it could be postponed. If it doesn't need to be made up, if it doesn't factor into any playoff seeding, then it won't be replayed. But if it does, then the Blue Jays would go back to Baltimore on Monday. I don't know if it would be for a day game or for a night game. They're playing at 3 o'clock. Everybody's playing at 3 o'clock on Sunday. Very cool of Major League Baseball. Hopefully there'll be a game or two that matters. There might not. But every game on Sunday starts at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So the Blue Jays and Rays will be done around 6-ish. Fly to Baltimore to either, you know, you get in around 9:30. It's not so terrible to play a day game on Monday. Or you play a night game because the Orioles are done and the Blue Jays aren't playing until Thursday. And that only happens if the Blue Jays trail the Kansas City Royals by a half game after close of business on Sunday. Right now, the Jays are a game up on the Royals for top spot overall in the American League. They can't be tied, obviously, because the Blue Jays will have played 161 games and the Royals will have played 162. The Royals finishing up a series in Chicago tonight, and then tomorrow they move on to Minnesota. I guess it's possible that the Royals could be rained out. The Blue Jays, we know, can't be rained out the rest of the way because they're going to a dome. So if it finishes with the Blue Jays having played 161 games, the Royals having played 162, they cannot be tied. If the Blue Jays are a half game ahead, there's no need for the tiebreaker, or there's no need to make this game up because the Blue Jays hold the tiebreaker over Kansas City. So it's only if they're a half game behind at the end of Sunday. It's the Rain Delay Program, and let's go back to the phone calls Rob is in Ajax. Rob, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. First-time caller, big fan, love the program. I just want to share an experience. I was at the game when Joe Carter hit that home run.
That's very cool.
And I got to say this, it was the greatest day of my life. The fans were fantastic. After the game, we walked up, my brother and I, we walked up Yonge Street. And unlike some other places, there was no rioting, there was no damage. Everybody was in a euphoric reaction due to the Jays winning. And I do have a question. What is Ben Revere's contract? I was looking at it. It said arbitration. Do we have him for a period of time, or what's the deal with that?
The way contracts work in baseball is that a player is under team control until he has 6 years of service, 6 full years of service. Then he can become a free agent. But between 3 and 6 years of service, and some guys with just over 2 years of service, they're arbitration eligible. And it's very rare to see players with fewer than 6 years of service time signed to long-term contracts. So because you have control, you can just go year to year, and it's not like they can go anywhere if they want to. Ben Revere, going into this season, had 3 years and 149 days of service time. So after this year, it'll be 4 years and 149 days of service time, which means that the Blue Jays have him for under control for 2 more years after this one. He would be eligible for free agency after the 2017 season, but he's eligible for arbitration after this year. He's already been through arbitration a couple of times, and you would think he would probably be making in the neighborhood of $6 or $7 million next year if he sticks around. If the Blue Jays choose to have him stick around, that is.
So in essence, the Jays could say, no, that number's too big, and he can go shop himself elsewhere. Is that how it works?
Yeah, in essence, that's what happens. Either they can go to arbitration, and arbitration is binding. It's not like hockey where an arbitrator can choose somewhere in the middle of the two numbers. And also contract length, I think, is discussed in hockey arbitration. But in baseball, it's a one-year contract. Team submits a number, player submits a number. Arbitrator has to choose one of those two numbers, and neither party can walk away from the decision. But contracts awarded in an arbitration hearing are not guaranteed, and that player can be cut in spring training, and the team's only liable for a sixth of his salary. So if the Blue Jays decide to tender Ben Revere a contract, they would go to arbitration unless they can settle on a one-year number. But you can always tender a guy and trade him. And that's certainly a possibility with Ben Revere. I think, you know, it's been wonderful what Revere has done. I don't want to get into the whole figuring out the roster for the future thing, because really we should just be enjoying what's in front of us. I mean, it's less than 24 hours since they clinched the division. But if they decide that Ben Revere, for what he does, is too expensive, and you can have a healthy Michael Saunders for about 1/6 of the price or a third, then it may be in their best interest to see what they can get for Ben Revere. And if not, maybe a non-tender. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay. 3-0 Baltimore after one inning. Judy is in Dundas. Hey, Judy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I only have one, not a comment, but I have a feeling that there's one person that hasn't been brought up in the last 24 hours, and that is that Tom Cheek is probably smiling in heaven, happy as all heck as everybody else. So this has happened again.
He certainly is, and it's too bad you didn't listen to Jay's talk after the second game last night. We certainly brought him up and discussed him and even played a couple of highlights of Tom's calling.
It was a bit late, so.
Yeah, it was a bit late. It was,
anyway.
But I assure you that he has certainly been discussed, and I'm more than happy to discuss him further.
I just think that, you know, I just wanted to make the point that I'm sure he's as ecstatic as everybody is down here, And not that the other fellas aren't doing great jobs, but him and Jerry were just great together.
It's a special thing for all Blue Jay fans of a certain age. And thank you for calling, Judy, and reminding us. But those of us who got to grow up listening to Tom Cheek and Jerry Howarth, or just listen for a long time to Tom and Jerry, they were together for 24 years on the broadcast. It was special. And it is too bad that Tom's not around to enjoy this. But I'm sure he is smiling down somewhere. And we'll see if we can't throw in a Tom Cheek highlight or two for you. Tom with the calls when the Blue Jays, I mean, he had all of them. He had all the calls when they clinched in 87, in 89, in 91, 92. When they won the ALCS in 92 in the World Series. And I don't know how many people know this, but Tom and Jerry, the way they worked their innings, they split extra innings. And the 11th inning was Jerry's. Jerry had the call of Dave Winfield's two-run double in the top of the 11th in 1992 that gave the Blue Jays the lead in Game 6 of the World Series. But Jerry gave Tom the mic for the bottom of the 11th inning with the Blue Jays leading 4-2. So that Tom could get to call the Blue Jays winning the World Series for the first time in franchise history. So Tom has all the calls. Last night was Jerry's first chance to call a division clinching win, and one hopes he'll get the chance to call three rounds of playoff wins for the Blue Jays this year. Sarah's in Newmarket. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm great. Welcome to the Rain Delay Program.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to be among you today. Well, I just wanted to bring up a little more 90s nostalgia for you because I've done so much comparing to the 92 and 93 teams to our 2015 team this year, and rightfully so. And I just wanted to say that I think this rain delay is a good omen because it's raining in Baltimore, and the Counting Crows have a song by the same name, and it's from an album called August and Everything After. And this team has been about August and everything that has come after. I'm so excited for what October has to bring as well.
That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for pulling out the Counting Crows. That's the symbolism in there is pretty tremendous. I appreciate that. One hopes that it's the long December of celebrating a Blue Jays World Series championship. We'll see if we get there. Thank you very much, Sarah. Appreciate the call. The Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay, and that means it's the Rain Delay Program. That's what we are bringing you right now. The rain delay started officially at 12:39 p.m. Eastern time, so that means they are 45 minutes in. 35 minutes in, doing math live on air, never a good idea. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. Again, if the game cannot be continued, it may have to be replayed on Monday. The only circumstance that would see that happening is if after Sunday's games, the Blue Jays were a half game behind the Kansas City Royals in the overall standings. Taking your calls for a who knows? Maybe the rest of the afternoon. Chuck is in Markham. Chuck, you're on the Rain Delay Program.
Mr. Wilner, how are you?
I am well, Chuck.
A simple, maybe an unimportant question, but in the second game last night, Dickie was throwing really well. He went through the fifth inning, and they really hadn't done any damage to him at all. I wondered last night why he was pulled after five.
Because I think that the games are less meaningful now, and it's more important now for the Blue Jays to make sure everybody's strong and healthy and ready for an extra month of baseball.
Okay, so it was more they just felt that after five innings that
was enough.
Okay, and it would put him in a better position for next week. Okay, no, that's what I was curious because he certainly wasn't laboring him. They certainly weren't hitting him.
No.
So I was just curious.
No, he was doing great. Yeah. But yeah, you're asking these guys now to pitch an extra month, you hope. So there's no need not to be careful. no need to stretch them. These games, while not meaningful, aren't especially meaningful. And I'm totally fine with that. I think that maybe the only starter the rest of the way who's going to get pushed will be Mark Burley, so that he can get to 200 innings. But again, you're probably not looking for Mark Burley to pitch that extra month, because chances are he's not going to be in the Blue Jays playoff rotation if everybody stays healthy. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay. Andre is in Scarborough, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Andre, you're next. What's up?
Hey, Mike, not much. About to go to work, but just had to get on the show first. First of all, the Jays, I mean, even if we don't do well in the postseason, this season was a success, especially with the way we clinched in Baltimore, with our pitching, hitting, and defense all coming through perfectly for that one game.
That was a spectacular example of doing everything right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, for sure. And I know a lot of people have been asking this for a while, and like, it was way too early to ask, but I'm going to ask you now, who do you think should be in the bullpen for the postseason, and will we go with 7 or 8 guys?
If they go with 8 guys, I will raise hell. I think in a short series, and you could conceivably, in a 5-game series, use Brett Cecil, Mark Lowe, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna in every single game and not have them be laboring at all. It's okay. 2 days, then a day off, then 2 days, then a day off, then a game. So to go to 8 is just overkill when guys on the bench can help you so much more, just an extra pair of legs, even if you need it. You never know. I know you want to secure your bullpen for a 17-inning game, but you need to secure your bench for a 17-inning game as well. And a guy like a Dalton Pompey will do so much more for you than your 8th reliever in a playoff roster. So I do think that they're going to go with 7. And so I already named, 5 guys? Hawkins, Sanchez, Lowe, Cecil, and Osuna. Liam Hendricks will be in the playoff bullpen, absolutely. And the way they've been using him is probably going to see Aaron Loop there over Bo Schultz. But Bo Schultz has barely been used in a month. And Aaron Loop has kind of been popped in to try to get a single lefty. And I think that they kind of like that idea, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Aaron Loop in the bullpen.
And finally, will you be having Blue Jays talk in the postseason?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We'll be having Blue Jays talk live and on location from every single game, and chances are it'll probably go long, as it should. Don't know. Haven't had those discussions yet, but... Okay. Yes, we will very definitely be having Blue Jays talk in the playoffs. The tarp is coming off the field at Camden Yards right now, so it appears as though they will resume the game, try to get those 5 innings in. And again, we will take you out to Oriole Park at Camden Yards as soon as they are ready to play baseball again. Blue Jays are trailing Baltimore 3-0. After 1 inning, needs to go 4.5 to be official if the Orioles are leading, needs to go 5 to be official if the Blue Jays are on top. Adam in Toronto. Adam, you're up next on Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Love the show as always.
Thank you.
Couple of comments. It seems like when the sun is out in Toronto, all the Toronto fans are pretty reasonable. No questions about next year and whatnot. So it's nice that people are finally living in the now. I don't know if you saw it, the Arash Mandani video of 22 years thing. It gave me shivers. I went into my basement. I found my old VHS tapes of the 92 and 93 series, and I was watching it till like 3 in the morning last night. It's just an incredible feeling in the city right now.
The most incredible thing you just told me is that you still have a VCR.
No. I had to find it in my parents' basement.
I thought you found the tapes in your parents' basement.
And the VCR, and I connected it last night. I had to jimmy the wires because, like, I don't even have the wiring anymore. But I actually got it on the screen, and it's a little bit grainy, but, you know, it's still there. It's still there. It's pretty amazing.
Get them transferred to DVD so you can have them forever.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, it is great that people are living in the now. I have not yet seen Arash's video essay. I've been kind of busy over the last 24 hours, or the last 21 hours, I guess, since that doubleheader started. But I am really looking forward to it. I saw it. I saw it on TV, but with the sound down while I was on the radio, so couldn't really pay as much attention to it as I wanted to, but I am looking forward to seeing it. I did retweet it, so if any of you, you know, check out Arash's timeline or mine, you'll find a link to it. I have heard nothing but great things about it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Quick question. The three games that we need between us and KC to clinch the division, is that including the fact that if we're tied,
yes,
we get the top spot?
Yep.
Okay.
They're a game up with four games to play, so the magic number would be three. And even if they wind up tied, the Blue Jays win. All they have to do is tie.
Thanks, Mike. I'm got tickets to game one, and I'm pumped. Thanks a lot.
Wonderful. All right, thank you for the call. Blue Jays and Orioles in a rain delay for a little bit longer. Not much. The tarp is coming off the field. There is a very light rain right now in Baltimore. And we will get you back to the ballpark when they get back on the field. But until then, we are going to continue to take your calls on the rain delay program. Nick is in Dysart, Saskatchewan. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Where's Dysart? And which I know we have three stations out there in Saskatchewan. Which one are you listening on?
Yeah, AM 1190 in Weyburn, and Dysart's an hour northeast of Regina.
Nice.
A town of 200 people.
We love our Western listeners.
Oh, and we're cheering loud and proud out here.
Good.
Just wanted to talk about how exciting the clinch is. I was born in 93, so this is the first time for me going through something like this with the Blue Jays and how exciting it is. I grew up listening to you guys with my grandpa got me hooked listening in the tractor with him, and lo and behold, last night in the combine, listening to you guys in the Blue Jays clinch, it's a good feeling. It's exciting, and really, really happy to be a Blue Jays fan.
That's great to hear. Thank you. I know, you know, every time I talk to Andrew Walker, who is usually on the air right now on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, the Fan, on Brady and Walker, he talks about how much the Blue Jays mean in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And you know, the culture of just being out there on the tractor listening to a ball game, it's amazing to hear from you as to have that as such a big memory.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for keeping us able to listen out here. Appreciate that a lot. So thank you.
All right. We're thrilled to do it. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate the call a whole lot. It is the rain delay program. The 2015 American League East Division champion Toronto Blue Jays trail the Baltimore Orioles 3-0 after one inning. Tarps off the field, and they're getting the field ready to resume this game. We continue the calls. Vince is in Burlington, listening on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. Hey, Vince.
Hey, Mike. Congratulations. You know, you guys follow the team every day and do what you guys do. So, congratulations. First off.
Well, it's a lot of fun for us. I mean, we have nothing to do with the results on the field, obviously, but I appreciate the sentiment.
So, Mike, my question to you is the playoff times. Will the game times be dependent on American stations and on doubleheaders? Like, will they be playing the same time as another series, or will the games be in the afternoon? Do we know that yet, what time the games are for the ALDS?
We don't know what time the games will be yet in the ALDS. We won't know until after the wild card game when the series opponents have been determined. But, yeah, it is all determined by American television, who plays when. And rarely are there games played at the same time. It has happened a couple of times when on a four-game day you'll have games overlap. But more often than not, you'll have a noon and a 4 and an 8 and like an 11. For a game out there on the West Coast. If the Blue Jays wind up, say, playing the Angels in the division series, then there exists a possibility that game 4 of that division series, if all the series are still going, that game 4 may start at 11 p.m. Eastern time. I doubt that very much. There's a minuscule chance of that happening, but it's possible. The way I think, anyway, is that if the Blue Jays wind up playing the Yankees, they'll have the primetime slot most days. If they don't, then they probably won't, which would mean that game one of the ALDS would start around 4 Eastern time, and game two might be at noon on Friday, next Friday, October 9th. And that's just speculation on my part. I have no knowledge at all. But I know that wherever the Yankees play, they will likely get the best, highest viewership slots if the Yankees win the wild card game. If not, you're going to see the Cubs probably in those big time slots, or the Mets if the Cubs advance beyond the wild card game. But we have no information right now as to the times. I expect, unless it's Blue Jays Yankees in the ALDS, that game one will start at 4 on October 8th. Game two will start at noon on October 9th. But again, just a guess. Mike is in Barrie. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Excellent. Hey, what a great win. Congrats to the team. If I was manager, I would say one thing to one player, and that would be our center fielder, Mr. Pillar. He's got great range. Great to have him on the team. But I think it's time to talk to him about communication. You know, we had the thing with Tulo. And last night with Revere, that was so close. And Revere actually had a better chance of catching that. And, I had a moment there. I was thinking, oh, no, they're going to collide.
And, yeah, it was close.
Oh. And I hope that the team is healthy going into postseason and all goes well. But I think it's just worth mentioning Kevin just needs a little bit of communication tune-up or something.
Well, I think maybe he just needs to yell louder. I think that's all it is. Kevin Pillar is the center fielder, right? And the center fielder is supposed to catch everything he can get to. The Tulowitzki collision, that was Pillar's ball. Yesterday with Revere, if Pillar wants it, Revere's got to back off. He just has to make sure they can hear him.
Revere had a better angle.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If center fielder wants it, it's his.
Well, he should recognize that it's a better catch.
If he can catch it, though, whether it's better or not, if he can catch it and he wants to catch it, he should catch it. That's his job.
Well, Revere would have caught that. Pillar got in the way.
But Pillar caught it.
No, Pillar didn't get
Pillar,
it.
Well, Pillar would have caught it if Revere hadn't gotten in the way, right? One would think. Look, that's the job of the center fielder. The center, especially when you're a center fielder who is as rangy as Pillar, who is as spectacular defensively as Kevin Pillar is, if you want the ball, everybody's got to get out of your way. It doesn't work the other way. It's not his responsibility to make sure that, Revere might have a better shot at it, but I...
Revere has a better shot at that catch.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
So everybody better look out because Pilar's coming.
That's the way it works. That's the way it works with every center fielder since this game has started being played. And Kevin Pillar's just got to yell louder. Now the tarp is back on the field in Baltimore. So we don't have as much of a return to baseball, or at least as close a return to baseball as we thought they were going to have. So keep them phone lines ringing at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We've just found out, by the way, that the Major League Baseball Players Association has released its three finalists for their Players' Choice Award as Player of the Year, voted on by the players. Three finalists means these are the people who finish in the top three in the voting. It doesn't mean, I don't think, that these three names are going to be resubmitted to everybody to vote for. But the three finalists for Players' Choice Award: Zach Greinke of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals, and Josh Donaldson of your Toronto Blue Jays. We'll see. And again, it's Player of the Year. There's no most valuable in there. It's probably going to be Bryce Harper because he is having just a spectacular season for the Washington Nationals. But Josh Donaldson, one of the top three in there, and the only American leaguer, which augurs well for his inevitable most valuable player selection. The Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles are in a rain delay. The tarp is on the field. Again, it had come off. It's now back on. We don't know how long this is going to take. And we're going to step away for a couple of minutes. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We'll hear more of, we'll go back and listen to some of the clubhouse celebration from last night. And we continue the rain delay program. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Control in Toronto. Mike Wilner here with you. This is the rain delay program. The Blue Jays in Baltimore played through a driving rain in the first inning before Joe West decided to pull them off the field after much pleading from players, from John Gibbons and Pete Walker, from the grounds crew. And we are approaching hour one of the rain delay, the end of hour one of the rain delay. We're taking your calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will pop back in to Baltimore. We'll check at the top of the hour. We'll see if we can get Joe Siddle to give us an update. The tarp came off. And now it's back on. We will let you know what the decision is. And again, the only thing up for grabs right now, now the Blue Jays have clinched first place, which is still amazing to say, by the way. Blue Jays have won the American League East. The only thing up for grabs right now is first place overall in the American League. Right now, the Blue Jays are a game ahead of the Kansas City Royals, first place overall in the American League, and they hold the tiebreaker because they won the season series. If they cannot finish this game, they would have to go back to Baltimore on Monday and replay it if the Blue Jays are a half game behind the Royals after Sunday's games. If the Blue Jays are not a half game behind the Kansas City Royals after Sunday's game, if they are in any other position relative to the Kansas City Royals, this game will not have to be replayed at all. And they'll just move on to the playoffs. Before we get back to the phones, a caller brought up earlier that she hadn't heard anyone mention Tom Cheek and how happy he would be. We did talk about Tom yesterday, and obviously he's a big part of this. Looking down, we're sure, and enjoying every minute of this. It's been, this October, it'll be 10 years since Tom passed away. The Blue Jays could be on their way to the World Series on that 10th anniversary of his passing. And, you know, we kind of want him to be a part of this as well. Because, again, we know how much he'd enjoy it. And for those of you who got the chance to enjoy Tom calling baseball for so long, I'm sure your memories are strong. I know mine are. For those of you who never did, we've prepared a little bit of something for some great moments of Blue Jays past as called by Tom Cheek, a voice that was silenced 10 years ago, but who presided over every single great moment that the Blue Jays had been through prior to this past couple of months. And here it is for you.
One ball, one strike. Two Blue Jays down. Oh, gets into one. This one's well hit. Forget about it. It's a home run.
That was way back there.
first baseman Doug Ault has electrified this crowd at Exhibition Stadium. That one hit between the 375-foot power alley sign and the 400-foot straightaway center field sign. A tremendous shot, and the first ever Blue Jay to hit one out is Doug Ault. So put a star by it and save your scorecard. That, too, will become a collector's item.
He works to Hassie. There's a swing and a fly ball left field. Bell is there. He's got it. The Blue Jays have done it. They have won the East. They have won the East. George Bell catching the ball and dropping to his knees. A mob scene out around second base as Doyle Alexander is mobbed by his teammates. Here come the outfielders in. They will be met by their mates and this mammoth crowd that has come streaming down out of the seats now. Somebody takes George Bell's cap. He wants it back. He takes it back. And the Blue Jays and Doyle Alexander are going to be ushered off the field by their adoring public. Alexander with his cap off being carried by the throng down there on the field.
One ball, one strike to Brown. The pitch, a swing, and a fly ball right field. Junior Felix is there. He's done it. He's done it. Dave Steve has his no-hitter. Dave Steve has his no-hitter, finally. He has done it here in Cleveland. He is being mobbed by his teammates. Dave Steve has pitched the first no-hitter in Blue Jays history.
Otis Nixon grounded out to short in the first, grounded out to short in the third, popped up to short in the fifth. Base hits in the seventh and the ninth. Waggles the bat and he waits. Timlin to the belt. Pitch on the way, and there's a bunted ball. First base side, Timlin to Carter, and the Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions. They come pouring out of the dugout, and they are mobbing Carter, and they go down in one big collective heap over by the first base bag here. A big pileup. Somebody on the bottom might be hurt in all of that. The Blue Jays have won the World Series.
How about that? And literally getting chills right now as from that Tom Cheek montage of some of his great calls over the course of the Blue Jays' great run from day one, those that home run by Doug Ault on April 7th, 1977. You might notice that there, you might have been expecting one more call in that montage that you didn't get, because the last one there was when Otis Nixon bunted to Mike Timlin and the Blue Jays won the 1992 World Series. There is one more. Here it is.
Joe has had his moments. Trying to lay off that ball low to the outside part of the plate, and he just went after one. Two balls and two strikes on him. Here's the pitch on the way. A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it. The Blue Jays are World Series champions as Joe Carter hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and the Blue Jays have repeated as World Series champions. Touch them all, Joe. You'll never hit a bigger home run in your life.
There it is. And hopefully we can have more moments like that this year and in the years to come for your Toronto Blue Jays. And as Tom said many times after, that wasn't a staged call. He didn't have anything prepared. He was watching Joe Carter jump around on the base paths. And those of you who've seen it, I'm sure pretty much everybody who's listening has seen the highlight of that Joe Carter home run. And he was quite literally leaping around the base paths. And Tom Cheek was telling him, make sure you touch all the bases, Joe. But that's how it used to feel around here. And it's great to have gotten Tom Cheek in on this great day for the Blue Jays. They clinch the American League East. last night around 6:30 was the end of that 15-2 romp over the Baltimore Orioles. Pardon me, 7:30. The end of that 15-2 romp over the Baltimore Orioles that clinched the American League East for the first time in 22 years. All right, we got chills, tears in our eyes, all that stuff. Let's go back to the phones on the rain delay program. Jays are trailing the Baltimore Orioles 3-0 after one inning. And the tarp is on the field. We'll check back at Camden Yards a little bit later on for an update with Joe Siddall. Asher is in Toronto on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Asher, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. And seriously, it had to put me in tears right as I'm going on the air.
Well, me too. I mean, what are you going to do?
What a voice. What a voice. Just unbelievable. And I got to say, as somebody that's trying to go into broadcasting myself, I mean, he's really a guy that you look up to. He's just absolutely no effort behind his call. Doesn't put anything into that voice. Just he's just himself. He's so good.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And there was nothing, nothing fabricated, nothing pretend, nothing fake about Tom Cheek at all.
No, not at all. He just sounded like a guy sitting there watching the game like anybody else.
Yep.
Anyway, I've been a fan since, I was alive during 93, but I was only 5, and I was unfortunately not a baseball fan at the time, and I went to my first game in 95, so I got to see Wham-Co in the lineup, but I never actually got to see them succeed, so this is quite the thing to watch for me right now. It's amazing. I don't know, I decided to call with kind of a different topic because I know everybody's just talking about how great it is and how happy everybody is. And I just noticed kind of an oddity as I've been watching the games the last few weeks, watching the Jays on the road and seeing the fact that, you know, they haven't worn their gray jersey in a really long time. And I went and checked. There's a site called sportslogos.com or something. And they, you know, they track logo histories, jersey histories for all the major sports. And I confirmed that the Jays actually have not worn their gray jersey since before the All-Star break in Kansas City. And the reason for that was that it turns out they're 10-21 in that jersey. Having said that, you know, things have obviously turned around since the All-Star break. And I think now would be a better time more than ever going into Tampa Bay to try and break that curse and wear that jersey. Cause I don't know, I'm a bit of a purist when it comes to jerseys. I like to see the home jersey say the name of the team and the road jersey say the city on it. It actually drove me crazy that the Raptors switch this year and all their jerseys road and home say Raptors on them, because you know the city of Toronto obviously has, you know, long suffered in all the major sports and haven't really been able to have a championship of their own with the exception of the Argos. But I don't know, I know it's an odd thing to talk about, but I think the Jays should try and break that curse with the road jersey and wear that in the playoffs, because the city of Toronto, you know, would look good to have that recognition when they, you know, if they happen to win on the road. And I actually thought also that, you know, going into next year, maybe something for the marketing team to look into would be maybe coming out with, you know, a second alternate or a fourth jersey that they could wear on the road, a blue jersey that says Toronto on it. You know, I think other teams do that. The Mets have a home alternate and a road alternate. I think the Twins do it. I think the Indians used to, but I don't know. I think giving a little more recognition to Toronto on the jersey would be neat. But again, I know that's complete nitpicking. I have nothing negative to say about the team. I just thought it was an interesting tidbit.
It is complete nitpicking. You're right. But there's something to be said for seeing the name of the city on the road jersey. I don't think they're going to break out the grays in Tampa Bay. You never know, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, they lost that series in Kansas City. They lost that the last game before the All-Star break, which was that terrible, wasn't it the game, that the 11-10 game where they were down a bunch and then they came back and took the lead and lost it anyway. And I guess they decided that's it. We're not going to wear the blues or the grays for a while. And then everything happened and they just kept winning and winning and winning and winning. Yeah, it was that 11-10 game where they were down 6-0 in the first and scored 8 in the sixth to take the lead and then blew it. And so, you know what? The thing about sports, if you think something is helping you, then it's helping you. And so if they want to wear the blues and they've been fantastic on the road since everything happened, I say let them wear the blues.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. Thanks for taking my call. A fantastic show as always. And I got you know, listening to Tom really made me think, you know, listening to you do the play-by-play the last few years, I mean, there's a lot of similarities there. It's a very natural call, and it's great to hear you do a great job. So thanks again.
I appreciate that as well. I don't know that I'll ever deserve to ever be compared to Tom Cheek as far as broadcaster goes. But if there are similarities, it's because I learned pretty much everything I know about broadcasting from him. And I take that as a massive compliment. It is the rain delay program. The Blue Jays and Baltimore Orioles went into a rain delay an hour and 9 minutes ago. The tarp was put on the field about 20 minutes later. Then it came off. Now it's back on. And we don't know what's happening. Jeffrey is in Aurora. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you, Mike?
I continue to be tremendous.
Great.
Yes.
I wanted to say, as a fan, that I would rather, from the perspective of the team, be on my way to Florida right now and more than happy to come back Monday to break to finish the series, because there's two days off afterwards before Thursday, and then after yesterday's doubleheader, to sit there and wait for today.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I think it is a much better idea if they just say, all right, enough, we'll come back Monday if we have to. And it gives them a much better chance of winning this game as well.
Yeah, and even if there wasn't, I mean, it's at a great point where there's no risk, because if they lost the game today, knock on wood, that's not going to happen, you break even. You split the series. They've won.
Yeah, but it's no longer about splitting a series. I mean, it's about, the only thing that matters is home field advantage in the American League, right? And if you play Monday, like you said, it shortens the break, and it also allows you to get your A team in there and give them sort of a playoff-y type game, which is something that the Blue Jays really haven't had in a while.
Yeah, you do have a point there.
Yeah.
All about home field advantage. That's what we need, and that's what the fans need, because the Rogers Center is roaring right now, every day.
It is. I mean, it won't, like, not having home field advantage. When I say it's all about home field advantage, I mean that's the only thing that remains in question. I don't think the Blue Jays need it. I don't think they should be, you know, killing themselves to try to get it. Because really all it means, if the Blue Jays do finish first overall in the American League, I mean, it's nice. But all it means is that if they play Kansas City in round two, game seven's at Rogers Center. Game one and two also, which is helpful. But game six and seven are at Rogers Center. If they don't play Kansas City in round two, doesn't matter. If Kansas City loses in the first round, the Blue Jays have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So that's all that home field is about. Adam is in Hamilton. Hey, Adam.
How's it going, Mike?
Going good.
Good, man. I'm just pulling over to the side of the road, so I'm not breaking any rules here. But
nicely done.
So
anybody.
Or that, yeah. I've been following the team. I was at some of the big games, you know, Price's first start, and the Martin homer, and, you know, a couple years back with the streak and the Kawasaki chanting. So it's, you know, it's been all positive. It's been a great, great thing. We all know that. But, you know, I've talked to you a few things about, you know, balls and strikes before, other stuff. But one thing I did want to mention is that I know we're giving a ton of credit to Alex, which, you know, he deserves, and he's, you know, I'm a believer in chemistry as well, and that's been a big thing for him putting this team together. But, you know, is there something to be said about the fact that, you know, the people upstairs kind of gave him the green light this time around? And there's a breakdown of numbers. Like, if you spend the money, you will get a club. And it's just like, what is the stat? The Yankees have been in the playoffs
a lot.
17 times. So I don't want to get negative, but I'm kind of saying that we can't have this happen this long again. And I would just love it if, you know, this is probably what, the third or fourth biggest market in North America. And I just don't think there's a reason that we can't be in the league with those other big name cities that put that money there. And we, you know, it just can't go that long. That's all. That's my little 2 cents. So,
well, it didn't only go that long because of money. There were other factors, but there was a good 8-year period, let's say, where the Blue Jays simply were not competing financially with with the big spenders, and it was pretty terrible, the way that the payroll was being run here relative to, you know, it escalated in a hurry with the Yankees and Red Sox, and the Blue Jays simply did not keep up.
Right.
But yeah, you're right. This is one of the biggest media markets in North America. This team, when it's great, as we've seen, sells out every bloody game.
On fire, like the city's on fire. Yeah,
and it's crazy the numbers that they're pulling on TV, and I assume on radio as well. And they're making a lot of money, and there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to spend
right
to maintain payroll.
We all know it's a balance of everything, you know, like, of, you know, building up the minors and acquiring agents at times. Like, it's all a balance, but I just don't think we have to play in that Tampa Bay, in that league. You know, we should be in a different league. We're the country's team. You know, when you got the prime minister tweeting out Blue Jays, it's just, yeah. So I just hope that, you know, not going to say we're going to be there every year, but 22 years, man, that was a long wait.
It sure was. Yeah, thank you.
Great job, man.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, Adam. And look, the truth of the matter is, this is ownership that can afford to keep the payroll where it is, and probably raise it with all this money coming in. Because just look at what it does when this team is going well. Look at the revenue that a playoff team generates. Aside from the altruistic angle, where look at what it does to a city and all that stuff, it's corporate ownership. The only thing that matters is the bottom line. And the bottom line goes way up when you win. And one hopes that's a lesson learned by the people who are watching the numbers. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay. The Blue Jays are down 3-0 after one inning. We have no idea if or when this game is going to resume, but we're going to keep it here until we find out. Alex is in Toronto. You're next on the Rain Delay program.
Hi there, Mike. Nice to talk to you today. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Your enthusiasm about the tarp is really keeping me entertained. I'm glad I finally found the radio station. I've been checking your tweets for a while, so...
I'm glad you finally found it, too. What took you so long?
Oh, I just moved the city, and I'm at home this time of the day, and I'm usually either watching, I have Walker on in the background when I'm either doing some work or, you know, also hitting the gym. So, but I wanted to just, like, my personal experience was I was in the flight deck, and Russell hit his home run against the Yankees, pretty much end it and pretty much say, you know, put the magic number in that direction where it's like kind of like the nail in the coffin at the end of the day with Stroman pitching on the mound. But I was like, I remember I was up there, I was probably the only one not drinking out of both the people on the flight deck. And it was like, I'm like, okay, Russell, it's got to be Russell here, because, you know, he has that history of being a clinch home run hitter in these situations. Everyone's like, yeah, okay, let's go with it. And they're like, you know, okay, yeah, well, maybe likely. We're already up, so it's fine. He hits the home run just kind of off to the, I'd say, left direction of us, and everyone just goes nuts. I'm, like, bopping up and down. It was, like, literally, if the roof... I wish it was a little colder outside, because if the roof was closed, like, by God, the thing would have went popped right off, man. It was nuts. Like, I think I could... The only time you could make it bigger would be the one you guys were showing earlier. Oh, not showing, but I had played earlier, Tom's Joe Carter home run, so...
Yeah, I can imagine. I actually wasn't there for the Russ Martin home run. I was off that night, but But yeah, I mean, even though the Blue Jays already had the lead, that was a nail in the coffin for the game, and it was, and it pretty much was for the division, as it turned out. I mean, the Blue Jays are going to win this division comfortably when it's all said and done. They're six games up right now. The Yankees have lost three in a row, but that was a really, really big game, and maybe the biggest one at home so far this season. Those Kansas City Royals games were pretty incredible. I'm glad you got to be there, Alex, and I'm glad you were so close to where that ball actually landed. Hopefully there will be even bigger moments to celebrate at Rogers Center as this month progresses, and perhaps November as well. Dave's in Ajax. Dave, you're next on the Rain Delay program. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mike. Nice to talk to you. Long-time listener, big-time fan of yours.
Thank you.
I love listening when you put those fair weather fans in place. I absolutely love that. I follow the team for a lot of years now. I was one of those high school kids who was throwing toilet paper back in 92 and 93. A couple of points I want to touch on, Mike. One is the Munenori Kawasaki situation. A lot of people dump on him, but I'd like for you, if you could, check on it. I think that guy, no means am I saying he's an all-star or one of your top guys, but he sees a lot of pitches in at bats, and I wanted to know, you know, what's the average for him. Also, the only time I was not able to listen to the radio or listen to any Blue Jays talk was when all the fans were talking about Kevin Pillar and the incident with
Tulowitzki.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, I played baseball growing up, and that's a center fielder's ball all the way. You know, some people are saying maybe he should drop it or maybe he should back off or whatever. I don't think so, you know. And for me, the final point is the point in the season where I think the Blue Jays actually made a stand. There was two of them. One was the Josh Donaldson interview where he said this is not a tri-league. And the other one was when they all came together against Kansas City, when Kansas City was trying to bully everybody. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate listening to you. Keep up the good work. I hope that the Blue Jays take it all the way.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call and appreciate the kind words for sure. Munenori Kawasaki generally, I think, does see a lot of pitches. I'm trying to find his pitches per plate appearance numbers, and they are probably right in front of me, and I'm missing them. Obviously, he only has a handful of at-bats this season, just 29. 29 plate appearances this season. But he does see a lot of pitches, and he tends to give you a good at-bat. But he does tend in most of those good at-bats to get out. He's a good 26th or 27th guy to have. I don't think that there, you know, that there's an issue with that. He makes everybody feel good, and people love him. And when I was doing my end of season poll of the Blue Jays of their the player of the year and all that stuff, most pleasant surprise, Munenori Kawasaki actually got a vote as most pleasant surprise from one of the newer Blue Jays who hadn't ever been his teammate before. So I think that says a lot. But, yeah, he's a nice emergency backup piece. Pitches per plate appearance. There you go. 3.69 this year. The Major League Baseball average is 3.82 over his career, over which his is 4.05. So he does see more pitches than the average hitter. If that was the question that you were asking, which I thought he did. But again, not really a guy you want on a playoff roster. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay, and they have been for close to an hour and a half, and we're taking your calls, and we got a full board, and we're celebrating a Blue Jays clinch of the American League East. This is a lot of fun, so we're going to keep it going until we find out what's going on in the game. We will occasionally dip in to last night's clubhouse celebration, let you hear from a few people. Steve is in Port Perry. Hello, Steve.
Michael, Steven. Congratulations for 14 years. You and your great producer, I tried to get in after the first game last night to congratulate you.
Well, I've had several producers over the 14 years, and you know what? It's probably not a bad idea to name them, Steve. So now that you've gotten that in my mind.
You shouted out, brother.
Yeah,
you
Darren Stevenson it. Was the first one back in 2002 when I started on Blue Jays Talk. He is now a television sports anchor on CTV in Kitchener.
Would he would have done it with McCowan? Was that
No, it was McCowan's producer was Howard Berger.
Oh, holy moly.
Yeah, after Darren, it was Rob Pizzo, who now works for Hockey Night in Canada.
Wow.
And you can find him on CBC. Ryan Walsh, who was McCowan's producer for a long time after and is now working as a producer on Tim and Sid. Ken Rodney followed. And those were the big four regulars. Travis McKenzie was my producer. Josh Goldsmith. Josh Goldberg is working today, no relation. In the interim, we've had Joe Sicilia. Man, I'm forgetting a bunch of people. Mike Cesney is doing a lot. Gord Brunt, Joel McFadden. Frank Head, yeah. Ryan Favreau produced a few. Dave Cadeau, who is now the program director here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan, was a producer of Jay's Talk once upon a time.
Wow.
J.D. Bunkus, a lot of guys. Thanks for that, Steve.
Yeah.
And if anybody, great. If I forgot anybody, let me know, and I will apologize profusely.
Actually, Travis McKenzie did a great before the game in the Yankees series, a little highlight before. It was great to hear him. He does a great job on the Blair Show.
He does. Mark Boffo, by the way, also has been one of our producers. More recently as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget him.
He's a great man. Love talking to him before I get to you. you know, the drive of 85, the 80s are my highlight of the Blue Jays up to this year. The 90s, you know, it was almost expected. But when I saw those Canadians at Baltimore and they shouted out, thank you, double A, and then Gibby put in the Hawk for those final outs. This is just a class act organization, Michael. All these people that call in for Gibby's heads, and you've defended them. It's hard to not get emotional with this team, but boy, oh boy, you know, for 22 years of waiting, they certainly made it up this year. And I just was a little concerned because couple of games back, you weren't too sure about Jay's Talk, what was going to happen going into the playoffs, but your producer said that it's on.
Of course.
I wasn't sure of that, so I wanted to phone and just thank you for a great year, and certainly looking forward to after the games and when we take St. Louis in six and win the World Series. Yeah, that's really going out there, but why not? But I just want to thank you, Michael. You do a great job, and calling the games, too. Yeah, Tom is a hard act, but don't cut yourself short, my man. You are you're absolutely great, the show you do, and couldn't be more proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's great to hear. Thank you, Steve, in Port Perry. You know, we're getting a lot of love, and that's great because this is a wonderful, wonderful time to be a Blue Jays fan. It has been a long, long time. I just found out that Ben Nicholson Smith. Be cooler if Ben Revere was coming. Sorry, Ben. But Ben Nicholson Smith of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, is going to come join me and we'll, I get some company in here. I never get some company. For Blue Jays Talk or for a rain delay program. So that's going to be fun. He'll be here with me to take your calls soon. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay. We'll hear from Joe Siddall a little bit later on as well, just to check in on what's going on at Camden Yards. But we stick with the phones. Pat is in Etobicoke. Pat, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. I do agree with your last caller. I think St. Louis will be standing in the National League at the end of all of this. But the reason I called you, Mike, we could talk a lot about who's been the most valuable player past Donaldson for the Jays. There's been so many, but, you know, I look at Price, what he's done since he's came here. What's he got, 8-1 since he came here? I mean, this man has put himself right back into the middle of the race for the pitcher in the American League. He's just been astronomical. Now, we got Hernandez out west. I think he's 18-9 right now. And Price is, what, 17-5? Then we got the two guys down in Houston, and I don't remember their stats right off the top of my head. I think it's going to be a real tight Cy Young race, but Price does have the lower ERA. I think that he could very well come out of this, although he's not going to pitch for the rest of this season at least. I think he can still come out of this as the winner.
He certainly could. I don't know if he's the leader or if it's too close to call. I mean, it is kind of tough. When you look at it, David Price is, I know you were talking about one-loss records. I don't think that's really all that important as far as winning a Cy Young goes, where you know, people are learning that other things are more important. You're right, Felix Hernandez is 18-9, but he's also got an ERA, a run higher than David Price, as he hasn't thrown as many innings. He doesn't have as many strikeouts. His whip is much worse. I don't think Felix Hernandez is a factor in the Cy Young race. Basically, for me, it's between David Price and Dallas Keuchel. And Dallas Keuchel of the Astros, by the time it's over, may have the upper hand. He's going to get one more start. If he wins it, he'll be a 20-game winner. If he wins it, it will also be a huge sort of a pennant race win, probably for that wild card. He's got a better whip than Price. He's got more innings pitched, better opponent's batting average. Right now, the only difference is that his ERA is slightly higher by 0.2 of a run.
But what does that all say about Price and where he's came from? I mean, since the All-Star break,
he was pretty good with Detroit too. I don't know about that. I mean, one loss record, he's come out of nowhere, but not everything else. I mean, David Price was having a very, very good year for the Detroit Tigers when the Blue Jays got him.
Yeah.
And he's just continued to have a very good year, but I'm confident that he will finish first or second.
I think you're right.
In the Cy Young race.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It is a rain delay program. Blue Jays, Baltimore Orioles, waiting out the rains. And again, as I've mentioned, hoping that this game does not go. It is better for the Blue Jays if this game gets canceled, I think, even if they have to go back to Baltimore on Monday. And the phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. But it doesn't matter what just I think, because we have a rare guest on a Blue Jays talk on a rain delay program. That's what happens, I guess, when they're supposed to play day games. There are actually other human beings in the building. And Ben Nicholson-Smith is here from Sportsnet, from sportsnet.ca. Thank you for coming along, Benathan.
Happy to do it. It's fun to talk some Blue Jays, even if the weather doesn't look so fun in Baltimore.
Yeah, it doesn't at all. It is wonderful to have you here. So let me ask you, I've said it a couple of times already. The only way they go back, if this game gets blown up, the only way they go back is if they're a half game behind the Kansas City Royals at close of business on Sunday. And if they are, for me, you play the game with your regulars. You maybe have Marcus Stroman starting. It's a playoff-y environment. You're not hungover. And if they pick this game up, you're down by three with the B team in. You got a much better chance. And it's, I think, better for getting ready for next Thursday to play this game in Baltimore on Monday.
And you still have Tuesday and Wednesday off at that point. So the regulars would get a couple days of rest. I think that's really important at this point. But to play that game today, I mean, I get the idea that you want to get guys in and compete. But so soon after clinching, it didn't seem realistic.
No, and you know, just to so that you don't have 3 days off, you know, and you don't have to play three kind of meaningless games in Tampa that you don't really care about. You just, after that, instead of trying to gear it up one more time in a week for game one of the playoffs, you can gear it up for the makeup game.
Yeah, and it might not even come to that. I mean, looking at just the lead that the Blue Jays have over the Royals right now, it doesn't seem like much.
Yeah.
But to have one game when you can tie and still go ahead and get home field advantage
right,
throughout
it's
the playoffs.
Like 1.5.
Exactly. It really is. So I think at this point, that gives the Blue Jays a little bit of leeway. And even if they aren't exactly going to be playing every single one of their regulars for every single one of the games remaining, they're still a better team than the Rays.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, but the Rays seem to have their number, but they just swept them. And they have a chance to win a season series against the Rays if they take this series. They're 8-8 going into it. What are your thoughts about David Price not pitching again this year?
I was surprised.
Me too.
Yeah, I was surprised. And I mean, I guess you do get him some rest and you can work him in a sim game, but I thought he was going to pitch and maybe he goes 6 instead of 8, but I thought he was going to pitch and bolster those Cy Young chances well at the same time, helping the Blue Jays chase down top spot in the American League.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by this. It'll give him almost 2 weeks off. He's going to pitch a couple of sim games, John Gibbons said, and he may even pitch a simulated game against Troy Tulowitzki tomorrow, which would be kind of cool. But I think, you know, the Blue Jays have kind of earned they probably know what they're doing recognition at this point.
I think so. With an American League East title under their belts and really playing not only the best baseball of their season, but they're playing the best baseball of any team in the major leagues at this point. You can dial that back to July 31st, and this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, maybe even the best baseball we've seen since the Colorado Rockies and the Troy Tulowitzki's rookie season. It has been just simply amazing what the Blue Jays have managed to do. Ben Nicholson-Smith is here with us. It's a rain delay program. Tarps down on the field in Baltimore. We don't know what's happening. We'll check in with Joe Siddle soon for an update. You have been one of the most wonderful gifts that anyone can have that I don't have, and that is youth. people have been sharing their memories about what it was like for them way back when the Blue Jays were winning World Series. What if any are yours?
Well, so for 92, I was a little kid then.
Uh-huh.
And
but 93, you were all grown up.
Right, exactly. A lot can happen in 1 year at
that's
that age.
Right.
No, so in 92, I actually was asleep when they beat the Braves.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty late.
So it was
midnight,
pretty late,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But in 93, we weren't going to let that happen again. So I managed to convince my parents to stay up. And so I watched the Joe Carter home run, and it was, you know, at that point I was in London, Ontario, going under the porch, and you can hear all the horns blaring and everyone was into it. So it felt like you were close to something bigger than just an ordinary game.
Yeah, that's true. It's great that you were allowed to stay up for that and that you remember that. It was such a great time to watch the Blue Jays. And you know, that was at the end of an 11-year run of legitimate greatness for that team. Never had a losing record any of those 11 years from 85 to 93. That's 9 seasons where only once did they finish more than 2 games out in the American League East. And for the people who were that young and whose memories are only hazy and who, you know, you remember the big, big things, what was it like for you to watch that clubhouse celebration where you've seen so many over the past few years, none of which have involved a Toronto team? What kind of emotions did it stir to see it happen for your home team?
This is probably a word that's been used a lot in the last 18 hours or so, but it was kind of surreal, you know, like seeing all these players that we watch every single day, and not only the players, but you see Barry Davis in there, and, you know, you see all these familiar faces. And they're celebrating something that's a really huge achievement. You know, it's something that it hasn't happened in a long time, not only because the Blue Jays have had some questionable rosters at moments, but also because it's a tough thing to pull off in a division where you have the Yankees and the Red Sox and the Rays. So to me, it underlines just what's really been a phenomenal season for the Blue Jays and the fact that they have a ton of talent on this team.
They really do. And it's really exciting. and people are getting excited, and that's awesome. And we're feeling a lot of love on the rain delay program today. If you're just joining us, the Blue Jays are in a rain delay in Baltimore. If you're not just joining us, it doesn't affect the space-time continuum. The Blue Jays would still be in a rain delay in Baltimore, even if you're not just joining us. But I'm saying, in case you don't know, that's why I'm on the air right now. Mike Wilner, Ben Nicholson-Smith is here with me. And we're going to take your calls because that's what we do on rain delay programs. And when we're lucky enough to have it during the day, again, when there are other humans around and Ben is dropping in, which is great, not getting his usual appearance fee, which is also great. Let's go to Lewis in Mississauga. Hey, Lewis, welcome to the program.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. I just wanted to congratulate the Jays and really thank Rogers, everyone at the fan. Sometimes we think about sport as just being something that's there, something to entertain us at night. But my uncle passed early this year. He's a huge Jays fan, and he would have loved it. So I know he's up there watching us, Uncle Doug. Go Jays, go.
All right, thank you for that. That's appreciative, and that's, you know, it's something that you want to get into the bigger conversation about sport, right? Because it does bring families together, and it does cement relationships. And you know, there are people who have called in this show, Ben, and told me that the only thing they've ever been able to talk to their father about is baseball, and. You know, I don't want to get too much into the weepy stuff here, but these are the kinds of things, a night like last night, those are the kinds of things that you remember for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. I think that that's one of the things that we can say already about this 2015 team is they're going to be memorable. Even if they flame out in three games and 10 days from now, this season's over, which is unlikely, but possible.
But that would suck. But it is possible, absolutely.
And it would suck for Blue Jays fans, but at the same time, it would make for an incredible, memorable season. You know, not the one that the Blue Jays are hoping for, and I don't think it's going to end up that way, but this is one of those seasons that's going to be etched in Blue Jays history, like 85 and 92 and 93.
And 87.
For different reasons, yeah.
For different reasons. But yeah, for sure. We are going to have, people are going to remember that Josh Donaldson walk-off in the last regular season home game. They're going to remember that Russell Martin home run against the Yankees. They're going to remember Donaldson diving into the stands to preserve Marco Estrada, or to give Marco Estrada a little boost on his perfect game bid in Tampa Bay, Edwin's walk-off, and all these things that we'll be talking about for years. Just like when the Blue Jays were in that run, that 10-year run, the 11-year run that I talked about, where in 1992 we were talking about things that happened in 85 and 89 and on the workup to another championship.
Yeah, and it's amazing. Even at this point, there are already so many moments that are really, they really stand out in the course of the season. And you mentioned a few of them, but there really are so many of them. Kevin Pillar's catches you could throw in there. Any number of Donaldson.
Of them.
Yeah, exactly. So it adds up to a season that's been incredibly memorable. When you think about the number of eyeballs that are now going to be added to the group of people watching the Blue Jays, I mean, there's a chance that we could have some really indelible moments.
Yeah, and one hopes that many more of them are still to come, because from this point on, they just get even less delible,
yeah,
as it were.
Yeah, exactly.
He's Ben Nicholson-Smith. I'm Mike Wilner. It's the rain delay program. The Blue Jays are in Baltimore in a rain delay after the first inning. If they cannot continue this game, it will be canceled, well, postponed and potentially canceled. The only way they would have to replay it is if the Blue Jays were a half game back of the Royals after Sunday's games. And if this game would have to be replayed, it would be replayed on Monday in Baltimore, starting fresh. They would not pick it up from this point. They would, because it's prior to the fifth inning and not tied, they would start this game all over again. We're taking your calls, potentially for the rest of the afternoon. Aaron is in Toronto. You're up next on the rain delay program.
Good afternoon, Mike, and good afternoon, Ben. This will be a first. I don't think I've ever gotten a chance to interact with you, Ben, but, you know, I was originally going to come on and ask a couple of baseball questions about playoffs, but if you permit me, I'd like to take a second to say thanks to
to you, Mike, and obviously Ben. I've been reading a lot of your content online. I've been calling into Blue Jays talk since Frank Thomas and Mike McCoy, and wondering when Kyle Drabek was going to be the next big thing. So to get to here, it does feel like an achievement. And I know a lot of us who've been fans for a while, this feels really special. So thanks for the work you guys do. It really helps feed our fire for this team, and I think it only gets stronger. My two questions, and again, it's fitting we're in Baltimore. I'm not going to talk about Darren O'Day being a premium setup man. I think you two can hash that out. But we looking at the potential matchups, we know who they are. It's either going to be the Rangers. It could be the Yankees, Houston, you know, outside chance Anaheim and Minnesota. Obviously, we match up well against all of those teams. You know, a lot, the consensus is that Texas provides a really good even matchup, and I don't feel good about playing the Yankees in a playoff game, despite the regular season. I don't like that Yankee magic potential of A-Rod hitting something in the late innings and all of that. But number one, what matchup do you guys feel is going to be most favorable, and how does that break down for us? And then my second question, again, it's again about the roster. Are we going to go four pitchers and seven or six in the bullpen? What's our bench potentially going to look like to give us the most utility in a five-game series? Thanks, guys. I'll hang up and listen to you guys go at it. I really appreciate the work, and go Blue Jays.
Thank you. You know what? It's funny because I was going to ask Ben earlier today if I could write a column about the Blue Jays' potential playoff roster and how that might shape up.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Ben is our baseball editor at sportsnet.ca as well as a major contributor. I was going to do it during the game, but if they resume, I will. Well, let's start with most favorable matchup, because this is how I feel. Whichever team you want to play is going to beat you. There are no favorable matchups in the playoffs. It's just, you take it as it comes and you hope you beat them, because it really is such a coin flip. Nobody should be looking forward to playing the Blue Jays. That goes without saying. But I don't like this whole, I want this team, because that's the one that's going to get you.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the one thing you maybe could say is you want the team that's playing in the wild card game, because they've just burned their best starter.
Right. But on the flip side of that, then you get their starter in game three, potentially in a 1-1 series, to kind of put them over the top, as opposed to having your ace face their ace and making it more of an even matchup, especially when you've got David Price.
That's true. But still, the idea of using your ace in games 1 and 5, I think that's how teams would ideally want to line it up.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have that emotional thing, too, about playing the wild card game, because playing the wild card winner, because going into the playoffs, at least this year, with all the division races done except the West, and that could be done tomorrow, you're the only team that's playing a team that's coming off an emotional high of just having won a huge game.
Yeah.
Which might mean something. I mean, last year, both wild card winners went to the World Series.
Yeah. At least you're facing a team. If you do end up facing that wild card club, that team is playing its best baseball. Because of that, there's a good chance that they're a team that's healthy and they have their best contributors out there on the field. So I don't think that there is any great matchup, but I would also agree with the point that you made that the Blue Jays are good enough that they don't necessarily have to worry about it. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but they are the best team in the American League on paper. You know, you look at the Royals and Lorenzo Cain's banged up, losing Holland. That would have been the team that I would have said was right there with them. But to me, I think at this point, the Blue Jays are the best club.
What about the Rangers? Because they're close to the Blue Jays in post-All-Star game record. They've come out of nowhere. They were left for dead. They picked up Cole Hamels, and we were all saying, oh, yeah, that's a great move for 2016, right? They are almost as hot as the Blue Jays are.
But they have three left-handed pitchers. And I think that as good as Cole Hamels is, he's a lefty, and the Blue Jays mash lefties. And then you throw in Derek Holland, Martin Perez. All of a sudden, that looks like a team that the Blue Jays could get some runs against, especially in that ballpark.
So what you're suggesting is Yovani Gallardo is not going to pitch every game for Texas. Right.
And he's been great, obviously, against the Blue Jays, but maybe that's one game, two max. But I would think it'd be probably one.
Yeah, you would think that Hamels would be their ace in that series. For me, I just remember April. And I remember April, basketball in April, and everybody saying, the Raptors want Washington. You got to have, you know, lose this game so that you get to match up with Washington. And the Wizards swept them without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah, you never want to go into a game thinking you want to lose it. You know, even with the lineup that they put out there today, which had a very Buffalo Bisons feel to it, I think that that's a game you want to win. And yeah, you have to rest your regulars and you have to make sure that you're looking long-term as well as keeping the short-term in mind. But you want to win every single game.
Absolutely the case. And the Blue Jays aren't throwing in the towel. I mean, it's pragmatic to have started. First of all, you're absolutely starting the B team in the second game of that doubleheader yesterday. And today in the pouring rain, 12 hours after you've been spraying champagne over each other, it's equally pragmatic to start these guys again.
Otherwise, you run the risk that Jose Bautista strains a hamstring.
Right.
You know, or Josh Donaldson slips on the tarp. I mean, you can't have that happening at this point.
No. Absolutely not. There was a lot of celebrating going on last night. And we've got some of the audio of some of the celebrating that went on last night. I kind of want to hear, and Derek Brandeo has pulled it all up, which is great. I'm like making requests right now. Before we get to the rest, to the next call, I kind of want to hear Alex Anthopoulos with Barry Davis. But I know there were two of those, so I'm kind of putting Derek to work a little bit. The one on the field at the end of game one, the longer one, is the one I want to hear, because that was when you heard Alex choke up a little bit. And he said afterwards, because he had just gotten a text from his brother, and it was about his father who passed away when Alex was 20, and how much he would be enjoying that. Alex Anthopoulos has done a wonderful job with this team. The biggest thing in his, repertoire, quiver, whatever, is the fact that he has managed to remove emotion from the conversation at almost all times. You look at this deal, whether you sign this guy, whether you make this trade, whether you cut this guy, you remove emotion from it, because that can only make it make you make a bad decision. And yesterday to see him so emotional was outstanding.
Yeah, that's something new. You know, even in the clubhouse, you see LaTroy Hawkins on Instagram. Yeah, he was excited, and rightfully so. I mean, if you can't let loose after winning a division title and really playing some incredible baseball, thanks in large part to his moves. I mean, let's face it, the Blue Jays don't get here if they don't add David Price and Josh Donaldson. His fingerprints are all over this. He built this team, essentially, every last piece of it. And so at this point, for him to relax a little bit, enjoy some champagne, it's definitely well-earned. And, you know, his decision-making, much like the rest of the Blue Jays, there's still work ahead for Anthopoulos here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, there is, assuming he sticks around, and we certainly hope that that's the case. And before you say, wait a minute, Jose Bautista was here before Alex was GM and all that stuff, Anthopoulos did sign him to the long-term deal and keep him here. Same thing with Edwin Encarnacion, who was here before Alex was a GM. Alex got him to sign that pre-All-Star break trade just before he was about to become a free agent. So his fingerprints indeed all over every single player, with the exception of Brett Cecil, on this Blue Jays team. Let's hear what Alex Anthopoulos said in conversation with Barry Davis on the field at Camden Yards right after the Blue Jays clinched the American League East Division with a 15-2 win.
Alex, I've never seen you with so much emotion. This must feel incredible. You've got the best traveling fans in baseball.
Oh, the fans are amazing. I mean, I don't normally sit in the stands, but we had our staff that got together in the offseason in Arizona that put the team together. I wanted them all here together to experience this. So it's been great. The fans are incredible. They really are.
Last year in this stadium, you watched the Baltimore Orioles celebrate the AL East. At that time, you went to Tony La Cava and said, we've got to do something different. You brought guys together that are not just great ball players, but boy, do they fit in well.
No, they did. I remember we sat right up there and we watched it for about an hour, and it really sunk in. And we just said, look, we're going to stick to something. We're going to bring in high character, quality individuals. You want talent, but I will never go back to the other way again. Whether you win or lose, this is the type of group you want to go to war with day in and day out.
You had a plan. You acquired Josh Donaldson. You made the move to bring in Russell Martin. But even after the team was 50-51, did you get a sense that, look, it's not that we're that far off. We need to make a few moves, but we're not that far.
Yeah, we really felt we were a lot better than what we had showed with the wins and losses. Run differential was huge. We felt defensively we needed to get better, but we thought it was going to turn one way or the other. There's just an opportunity to get that much better. And all these guys that came in, the coaches, the manager, everybody across the board, the whole organization back in Toronto, the work that they put in and day out, it is amazing to see how far we've come.
You guys have definitely made a name for yourselves across the league now as a city and a team that free agents will say, I want to play for that team. How proud are you of what you were able to build here to make this one of those destinations?
You know, I had this conversation with Josh Donaldson maybe about a month ago, asking about Toronto and what the perception was. And he said, look, you guys haven't won before. And as great a city as it is and a great a place to be as it is, winning combined with a great clubhouse atmosphere, a ridiculous fan base on the road. This is like a home game. And I can't thank our fans enough. On the road, at home, it's been incredible. And really, it's pride more than anything else. I think everyone's so proud to be affiliated with this organization right now because of what everyone's done.
Have you ever imagined what this feeling was going to be like? Because it's one of those things where you think you know what it's going to be, but until it actually happens, you have no idea.
You know what? You see on TV each year, everyone spraying champagne, going crazy. You have no idea, but it's unbelievable feeling. It's a relief. It's all of the above. It's just a tremendous pride is probably the word that comes to mind.
We've talked about the players, but you've got such a terrific staff. Tony LaCava, all the guys, that Andrew Tinnish, the coaches, the manager. Just this is not just a one-person thing, is it?
There's no doubt. I mean, there's so many people at every level of the organization, scouting, development, stadium operations, grounds crew, all of it. The work that goes in is incredible. So it's all of us coming together, no pun intended, at a great time. And really, this is the time for everybody to enjoy this.
There have been so many points during this season that you can look and say this was the turnaround. When Josh Donaldson said in Houston, this is not the try league, this is the get it done league, it seemed that the players responded and all of a sudden things started to flow.
I mean, that's the type of player he is. You know, he can say those things because he plays every day. He plays hurt. He's a great performer as well, and he cares about winning. And I think that's what we did more than anything else this offseason, bring in a lot of individuals that winning was the number one priority. So can't say enough about the players. They're the ones that put us in this position, and just thrilled.
And they're not done yet. That's the great thing, isn't it?
No, there's no doubt. We still want to get home field throughout the playoffs, so we're going to watch Kansas City, and hopefully we can win some more games here and get that locked in. I think it's huge for us with the home field advantage that we have. You watch MLB Network. They all talk about what an unbelievable environment is at home, and I can't encourage the fans enough to keep doing that. It is the talk of the league, what the stadium is like.
Alex, congratulations. What a ride it's been so far. We can't wait to see this continue.
Really, really thrilled, Barry. Appreciate it.
All right, Alex Anthopoulos, a very happy GM. We saw him jump up and down on TV. That's fantastic.
Saw him jump up and down on LaTroy Hawkins' Instagram as well. It's not safe for work, by the way, if you want to make sure you've got your headphones on when you're listening to that. And Roberto Alomar just hit a huge home run off Dennis Eckersley on Sportsnet. They're replaying Game 6 of the 1992 American League Championship Series. And yesterday, before the doubleheader, I was up here in the studios recording a bunch of promos and there's gonna be a little contesty thing during the playoffs. So replaying a ton of big Blue Jays playoff moments, and you guys are gonna love listening to that stuff. Hopefully over the course of the entire month of October and November. We got Ben Nicholson Smith here. It's a rain delay program. We're gonna step away, and when we come back, more of your phone calls, more of dipping into the Blue Jays clubhouse celebration from last night. Jim Corsi is pitching to Kelly Gruber right now with Derek Bell on the second base. Wow, this is really something. It is a rain delay program on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The best players are the ones you can trust in tough situations. And for tough cleaning jobs around the home, trust the Ultimate Scrubber. Great for the bathtub and shower, and available only at Home Hardware and Building Center locations. With a telescopic handle, it reaches where other scrubbers can't. And the advanced non-abrasive microfiber pad means the Ultimate Scrubber is safe to use on all surfaces, including tile, laminate, vinyl, and glass. The Ultimate Scrubber, only at Home Hardware. Proud partner of the Blue Jays.
You've heard the phrase a million times. Good things come in small packages. Well, it's true, kind of. Jack Link's small batch jerky is handcrafted, low in fat and calories, and made with a huge attention to detail. But the package it comes in really isn't that small. But I guess it's not really that big either. Medium? Yeah, it comes in a medium package. Is there a size between medium and kind of medium? It's definitely not small. Okay, so I guess in this case, good things come in medium-sized packages.
Jack Link's beef jerky. Feed your wild side.
The First Pitch is brought to you by One Tank Power Renew by CRC.
Are you concerned with the price of fuel? For Canadian drivers, better fuel economy keeps money in your wallet. One Tank Power Renew is proven to increase your car's MPG by an average of 5.7%. One Tank Power Renew's next generation of nitrogen-based detergents dissolves the hardened carbon deposits in your fuel system and restores it to like-new condition after just one tank. Restore power and performance, lower emissions, and save on fuel with One Tank Power Renew. Available in gasoline and diesel formulas at Canadian Tire.
He's out!
Good calls. They make everybody happy. Like calling a local Allstate agent, because Allstate agents live right in your neighborhood. They can get to know you and your coverage needs. With their local advice, they can help protect you better. And they're always ready to help if you ever have a question about changing rates.
Get personal service and advice from a local Allstate insurance agent today. To find one near you, visit allstate.ca/local. Terms and conditions apply. Coverage, perils, discounts, and availability may vary by region.
Allstate, official partner of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Read more about your Toronto Blue Jays in Sportsnet magazine. This is Toronto Blue Jays Baseball on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
To Sprague, it's a drive, it's deep left field, it's way back, it's gone! Home run, Ed Sprague, on the first pitch that he sees from Jeff Reardon. And this game has been turned right around as the Blue Jays will take the lead. Sprague hitting the plate, and the Blue Jays lead it 5-4 in Atlanta. Ed Sprague coming off the bench to pull the trigger on the first offering from Jeff Reardon, and he goes deep over the left field wall. A brand new ball game in Atlanta. And the Blue Jays are a step closer to coming home, even Steven, as we said.
Tom Cheek with a call. Game two of the 1992 World Series. One of the biggest and most forgotten home runs ever hit by a Blue Jay. Ed Sprague's pinch hit home run off Jeff Reardon. The Jays were in great danger of coming home down 2-0 to the Atlanta Braves, who were down 4-3 when he hit that. And he had a conversation with Rance Mullinix as he was getting set to pinch hit, and whatever Rance told him was absolutely good advice. And there's another one of those great calls from Tom Cheek. Mike Wilner, Ben Nicholson-Smith is here with us, helping to take your calls on the rain delay program. That was swell to listen to, huh?
That's awesome. What a great call, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100 out of 100 great calls, these huge seminal moments for the Blue Jays, and here's hoping we have a bunch more over the course of this month. And selfishly, I'm hoping some of them happen in the fifth or sixth inning. But whether they do or not, it will be awesome. Back to the phones we go. Eddie is in Fort Erie. Eddie, welcome to the rain delay program.
Thanks, Mike, and hello, Ben.
Hey, Eddie.
Before I get to my comment about the Blue Jays, I was actually watching that game that's on right now on the TV side, and I actually put on the audio while I was on hold to get through, and
you're forgiven. You're forgiven.
Thank you. I want to hear Tom Cheek's voice because you know what, I never really saw it. I didn't get a chance to hear Tom much. I actually heard him back when I started listening and watching baseball back in '95, and I was like, you know, immediately hooked because you know what, he's one of the best voices, you know, to us. It's also the same way when we, you know, hear Joe Bowen from the Maple Leafs and a bit closer to home for myself, you know, with the Sabres and Rick Jeanneret, and it's like one of those people that you really want to hear more often than not. And the one thing I saw from the Alomar home run, when I saw it, it's like, I can't believe he hit that home run in the shadows, because that's not easy to hit when you're hitting from the mound to home plate, because that was a big shadow covering home plate, and the sun was on the mound as well, you know?
Yep, absolutely, and people talk about that all the time, those shadows coming in and how you want to get the lead before the shadows move between the plate and the mound, and at least we know at Rogers Center they won't have to deal with that. Chances are the roof's going to be closed. I heard that the Blue Jays are in charge in the first round, and MLB's in charge the rest of the way, but the roof has never been open for a playoff game at Rogers Center ever. So I expect that the roof will always be closed. But that could be a concern if the Blue Jays play the Angels and they have a weird start time, a day game in Southern California.
That's the thing with the division series, too, is you do get these weird start times. MLB tries to line it up so that they have basically continuous baseball being played. And if you're the Blue Jays and maybe they end up playing, let's say, the Texas Rangers, maybe that's not the marquee matchup that baseball wants on their evening broadcast.
Right, and then you get like a 3 o'clock local start or something.
Exactly.
Which can mess you up with the shadows and stuff. Really? They're going to bring us food? Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk about bringing us food. We've been sitting here on the air for only a couple hours with no break. We're strong. Ben brought his lunch. We'll be all right. But we welcome the offer. Derek Brandeo on the other side of the glass offering to bring food in here for Ben and me. The problem is there won't be any time to eat it. But what the heck? Or if anybody out there in Radio Land wants to send us food, we're not above. We're not above accepting. We stick to the phones. Dave in Kitchener. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great, thanks. Go ahead.
Good. Hey, you know what? I'm so excited. I've had my Jays cap, one of probably 15 on my head since well before 85. And I'm just extremely happy for everybody that's involved in making the games happen day to day, like yourselves and of course the teams. Congratulations. But I want to make a special shout out to all the fans out there who know that they go an extraordinary way to continue being a Jays fan through 22 years of almost nothing, other than some great ball games in between. Yeah, just congratulations to all the fans, you know. And let's see, it's been hard being a lonely baseball cap walking through the city of Kitchener in those slim years. I didn't see too many more Jays caps unless I were to go to Toronto, and of course you'll see lots there. But my last little bit is sort of in response to Nick Kiprios. He was on the radio this morning talking about sort of making a half-hearted shot at the game of baseball and how they are celebrating winning just a division. And, well, Nick, if you're listening, Nick, baseball is the best sport in the world, a lot better. You don't take as many shots in the head so that you got something you can really put your mind into other than trying to, like, get your brains back in one...
That's a terrible thing to say, and wholly, like, that's in extraordinarily poor taste, especially when you're talking about someone who had his career ended by a concussion. So congratulations for that. You've reached a new low here on Jays Talk. As far as, you know, I don't want to get into the hockey versus baseball debate because... baseball, I don't think, will ever win in this country, and hockey will never win in this room. So there's really no point in doing that. But I will say this. In the National Hockey League, more than half the teams in the league make the playoffs every year. And, you know, if the Leafs make the playoffs, whenever the next time they make the playoffs is, they will celebrate making the playoffs because they haven't been there in over a decade for a regular length season. They got in one time in 10 years when the season was only 48 games long. Baseball playoff berths, Ben, deserve to be celebrated because it's really, really hard to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at hockey, I would venture to say that there are some sports fans who can't name the hockey divisions. So I don't think that you're necessarily going to celebrate that in anything close to the same way that you would a baseball division title. And it's not only here in Toronto. I think you look at the St. Louis Cardinals. They're going to celebrate a division title, even if they win it every year and they're easily one of the best teams in the National League.
Yep.
I mean, it's something that you celebrate. It's an amazing accomplishment over the course of 6 months to finally get a little bit of a release. And that's what we're seeing right now with these Blue Jays.
It's an everyday thing. It is an incredible grind. And, you know, the fact that, I don't I don't want to get into the hockey versus baseball debate. I'll just leave it right there. One third of the teams in Major League Baseball make it to the playoffs. 6 out of 30 win divisions. So, it's easily worth celebrating.
Every team does it.
Every team should. George in Toronto, you're next.
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. You're on the radio and stuff.
Good, good. I was talking about Roberto Osuna or Osuno.
Osuna?
Osuna. I don't think he gets quite enough credit, and maybe he should be the team MVP. Because when we were 50 and 51 when all these trades happened, I think that without him, we might have been like 40 and 60, and these trades might not have happened.
Roberto Osuna has played a massive, massive role in the success of the Blue Jays this year simply by stabilizing that bullpen, if nothing else, even before he was a closer.
He's been tremendous. I think that he has to be considered one of the great surprises of the season.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. He did not win for most pleasant surprise of the season in the Blue Jays postseason, in a poll of postseason awards, though. Thanks, George. Good take. We like it here on the Rain Delay program. Blue Jays trail the Baltimore Orioles 3-0. Matt Killer Brown is in the producer's chair right now. I don't think I mentioned him when I was running down the list of producers. He's gone on to great fame and fortune as well here at our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Derek Brandeo, of course, our technical director. We've had lots of those over the years, and lots of good ones. Neil Osten, the shining star among them. He was a guy for the first probably 5 or 6 years, maybe even longer, of Jay's Talk. Dylan Brown was in here before. Derek Brandeo is here. Those are, I'll bet you, the three longest tenured Blue Jays Talk producers over the 14 years that I've been in this chair. And, of course, we can't forget Joe Sicilia as well. One of the greats. Also gone on to much better things than just, you know, working with me every night. We don't know what's happening in Baltimore. We know it's raining. We know it's unpleasant. And Ben, I've suggested that the Blue Jays should just leave. I don't think that would be the worst idea in the world.
Exactly. They try to play the game and there are just no Blue Jays to be found.
Yeah.
What are they going to do at
just,
that point?
Right. Just pack up and go.
See you later.
That's fine. They're down 3-0 anyway. They're not likely to win this game with the lineup that they have in. So if they want to call it in 3 hours, you'll be in Florida already getting ready. And that way you can fly out before the really, really bad stuff hits.
Exactly.
I'm wondering why they haven't made a decision on this game quite yet. Someone suggested that it was going to clear up at 5 o'clock, and they might be waiting till then.
Wow.
Yeah.
But presumably they bumped it in the first place because
right.
The weather in the evening was not going to be good.
But maybe you have that window from like 5 to 6:30 where you get 4 more innings in or something. It's becoming silly at this point.
You have batters swinging at the first pitch on the Baltimore side just to get the game over with.
Yeah, and on the Blue Jays side too, I would think. Tom Hankey's pitching to Mark McGwire on Sportsnet right now. They're showing game 6 of the 1992 American League Championship Series. I think the Jays are going to win, and that's going to be very cool. They'll tie the series up, or they'll come home up 3-1, I think, or they'll stay in Oakland for game 5 up 3-1. Regardless, they win the series. Norris is in Scarborough. Just after Ben was saying people probably can't name all the hockey divisions. Norris, welcome to the program.
I just want to shout out to you and your program.
Thank you.
And I listen to you all the time. And what a day today. I am so choked up like many callers are. Because, you know, it is such an experience for me from that last World Series to now. And the big important part of it is my daughter's birthday twice. And we had to break up the party to get celebrating on the street. So every time, you know, my daughter, she's now going to be 26, she's always reminding me about it. So what a great game, what a great Jays. I went to the street this morning, I picked up the paper, and when I looked in it, I had to put it down. I was so emotionally break down. My heart is crying, my eyes. But the biggest sadness of this game, my disappointment, because I had a rug that I bought within that World Series a couple of weeks ago. I had it on my shoulder to celebrate. not even knowing that they lost that same game before I leave the house. And I think someone stole it. So that part made me sad every time I seen someone into a cap or a shirt, knowing that that rug was 22 years old. And I never take it out of my house. And it's so sad. And my happiness comes back knowing that the Jays bring this game back. And no matter what, no one might say celebrating. They had to celebrate this moment because it's been a long time, even clinching a division. So, go Jays. I am unitedly happy. I wish I get my rug back. Or is there a place where I could go and get one to buy back? And for my daughter, special to Pinky, it's all about her. Go Jays. I am feeling so joyful right now.
Thank you, Norris. Oh, you got more?
All right, and just to say, just to be a part of it, riding on the 401, going on the farm in 92, 93 to see my friends that came here on the farm work and enjoying the old scene, you know, all over again. What a joy. What a joy. Go Jays.
Thank you. And that's a lot of the emotion that we've been hearing. Sorry to hear about the stolen memorabilia. That kind of blows. It's nice to have those little mementos. And I think if I get home tonight after this game, I found a few, like I have a 1985 American League Champions shirt. I think I actually have a 1985 World Series pennant that we weren't supposed to have.
Wow.
But I'll put some pictures of that up on Twitter later tonight just to bring that back. And unfortunately that will make Norris sad, but it's great to hear from all these, you know, you listen, I know, religiously to every second of every Jays talk.
Of course.
There's not always a lot of love, but it's wonderful around, you know, yesterday and today as well, to hear all the passion pouring out from these Jays fans.
Exactly. And I think this is part of the reason you do have to celebrate this kind of division title when you get the chance, because as we've seen in the course of the last 22 years, there are no guarantees that you're going to get this all that frequently. And who knows what's going to happen in the postseason. I think they have a really good shot of doing some real damage from playing deep into October, but we've seen it before. And you see 7 really good teams, 9 really good teams get eliminated from October baseball every single year.
Yep, you do. You do. There's no question about it. And I firmly believe it's a crapshoot, a best of 5. It's all about who's hotter that week rather than which team is better. But that's the way playoffs had to be. I used to advocate, and I've stopped now because no one ever listened to me anyway, but I used to advocate that at the end of the regular season, you play a balanced schedule. At the end of the regular season, you take the best team from the American League, you take the best team in the National League, you play October, a best of 31, no off days. That tells you who the true champion is.
Yeah, that would be something else. That would be fun. But I mean, as it is, you end up with almost a different game. And I think in October, too, you see teams like the Royals who can rely really heavily on their bullpens. Or you see teams that are at a disadvantage because, take the Cardinals. Well, they're going to get Adam Wainwright back, but they've lost Yadier Molina for the time being. So you end up with a different team than the one that you won the division with, maybe.
Right. And you mentioned it as well with Kansas City. No Lorenzo Cain, no Greg Holland. The things that win you games over 162 are not the things that win you a best of 5 or a best of 7.
And that's what makes setting up that postseason roster so interesting.
Yeah, and I might write a column about it for sportsnet.ca for you today so that Shai can just worry about getting out of Baltimore and not have to deal with anything. We're going to see if we can check back in Baltimore sometime around the top of the hour and check in with Joe Siddle and see what's going on. They've been in a rain delay now for 2 hours and 17 minutes. Waiting out the horrible weather in Baltimore. 3-0, the Blue Jays trail the Orioles after 1. If they can't resume the game, it will be postponed or canceled, only needing to be replayed if the Blue Jays are a half game behind the Kansas City Royals at close of business on Sunday. If the game does need to be replayed, it will be replayed in Baltimore on Monday, and it will start fresh. None of the stats from this game will count. The 3 runs won't go up against Drew Hutchison. Manny Machado loses his 32nd home run of the year. The Chris Colabello double won't count. Dalton Pompey would still be perfect in stealing bases this year. Nothing counts. It's like the game didn't happen. If they don't pick it up today and don't make it official. If they do pick it up today, then obviously they start from where they stopped. Clark is in Georgian Bluffs. Clark, you're on the rain delay program.
Well, hi, guys. I called in originally because I would like to talk about one of my favorite players, Ryan Goins. But all this nostalgia talk takes me back to when I ran home from grade school in the 50s and early 60s to catch the last of the afternoon games, trying to sneak radios into the school to listen to the playoffs, the series games, listening to Mazeroski's walk-off home run, beating those damn Yanks. And, you know, I was on the phone a long time on hold, and I was remembering a duo that announced Pee Wee Reese and a guy who used to be a pitcher. You guys are too young to remember this.
The 50s? Yes, I'm going to say that. Unless you're thinking about, like, Dizzy Dean. I know he went into broadcasting.
God, it might have been Dizzy. I think it was Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese, who were kind of Mike and Joe kind of thing. Just, and they were terrific. And they had great insight into the game and stuff. And I love our broadcasters because I learned so much about stuff and I learned so much about the game. So you guys are great. So
thank you. Where did you, who broadcast World Series games on radio in Toronto in the 50s? Do you remember?
Well, see, I wasn't in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
So I can't remember at all what station I was picking it up on at all. Don't remember.
All right. Where were you?
I was in Sutton, Ontario.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Well, thanks for the call.
It probably would have been a Toronto
station. Yeah, probably would have been.
Station, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe it was CKEY back then. They were on 590 at the time. We have since stolen that from them. Well, they don't exist anymore. We're going to step away for a second, Mike Wilner and Ben Nicholson-Smith. And when we come back, we'll check in with Joe Siddall at Camden Yards. And we'll continue to take more of your calls. I know there's some of you that have been waiting for a long time. And we will get to you, the Blue Jays and Orioles, in a rain delay. It's the Rain Delay program on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Fly ball deep left field. That's heading for the wall, heading for the corner, and there she goes. Darwin Barney with a home run. His first as a Blue Jay and the 20th home run in his major league career. How about that? And the Blue Jays are not going to be shut out here in this second game of the doubleheader.
That was the only run that the Blue Jays scored last night as they sent out the B squad. Darwin Barney gets his first home run as a Blue Jay. They lost 8-1, but it didn't matter. They beat the Orioles 15-2 in the first game to clinch the American League East. And they're trying to play today, but it's raining in Baltimore. I'm Mike Wilner. Ben Nicholson-Smith has been kind enough to join me for the last hour or so as we take your calls. I'd give out the lines, but there aren't any open. You have to kind of play it so that you hear when we drop somebody and see if you can sneak in. Right away. We will continue to take your calls as long as this rain delay goes or until they call the game. But right now, let's check in at OPCY, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. I have to say, the best music in Major League Baseball. It's all 80s and it's super cheesy and it's fantastic. Hopefully it's been blaring for the last, 2 hours and 24 minutes of this rain delay. Joe Siddall is there. Joe Siddall has been just kind of sitting there. Nice. Country music is being played right now.
Tom's cranking up the volume for you, Mike.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Tom Young. Hopefully the music choices have been better over the past 2.5 hours. But what do you see, Joe?
I see a lot of what we saw earlier, Mike. It's still a pretty steady rain. The tarp is on the field, and really nothing has changed. So I don't know what exactly is going to happen. Of course, they probably will want to do whatever they can to get this ball game in. Now, the latest look that Tom and I had at the Doppler was that it seemed like things were moving from the south coming up, and they should have been out of here by around 3, 3:30. But it seems like as that's approaching and heading up north, more green seems to appear, but then now it seems as though as we look a couple hours in into the early evening that there's a much less percentage of precipitation. So I don't want to say that we're going to wait a couple more hours and then play baseball, but if this game has to be played, that could be a possibility.
They were gonna. It was originally going to start at 7 o'clock, so everyone was expecting to be there at night anyway. But you know, take us inside the clubhouse from your perspective. Does anyone want to just sit around for 5 hours and wait to play a game?
No, absolutely no one on either team. And I have not been in the Blue Jays clubhouse, of course, during the rain delay. But I wouldn't doubt there's some napping going on. Remember, we joked about that. Was that in Washington?
That's right. They all took a nap between that game and that doubleheader.
Now, I think this there'd probably be a different reason for their naps today, and it's probably because they didn't get a whole lot of shut-eye last night. But I'm sure this is really dragging on, and you probably have a lot of guys doing their little playing with their phones and playing some video games and probably have a ball game on in the TV. But I bet there's a lot of lounging and probably even napping going on.
Hey, Joe, we saw the scenes of the celebration last night, and it looked like a whole lot of fun. What was the vibe around the team like this morning before the game?
It was pretty quiet. It was, you know, everybody obviously had a very late night, got into the clubhouse this morning, and there was still a little bit of a stench hanging around, a wet carpet in parts of the clubhouse, and the clubhouse staff, of course, did the best they could, but it was, everybody's fairly quiet today, and you could tell this is a group that had an awful lot of fun last night, very well deserved, and they were coming here to try to basically play a ball game and get out of town. I think most of this team is really looking to head down to South Florida and get out of this weather and put all this behind them, but it was really the effects of a very late night, I think, by most players today in that clubhouse.
This game, Joe, right now is entirely in the hands of Joe West and the umpiring crew as far as when to resume or when to just say enough is enough and everybody go home. Obviously, I don't want to put you into the head of Joe West. I don't want to put anybody into the head of Joe West. But I mean, what's the umpire's consideration here if maybe there's a window at 5 o'clock for an hour and a half, but it means a 4.5 hour rain delay? And, you know, are they thinking we really, really, really want to get this game in? We want to do as much as we possibly can? Or is it just, you know, really, it may not even need to be replayed?
It may not even need to be replayed, but I think with the possibility of it needing to be replayed, I think as an umpire in Major League Baseball, they probably really should and want to wait as long as possible, especially if they do see a forecast where maybe they've got a few hour window later on and it means waiting for 3, 4, 5 hours, whatever it takes. It is still early in the day. It's not like it's a night game and they're waiting till 2 o'clock in the morning to resume play. That's not happening here. So if they've got a chance to play at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, we may just go ahead and wait. And again, you just don't know what's going to happen this weekend, both with the Blue Jays and with the Royals. But I think they're doing their due diligence to try to get this game in any way, anyhow. And even if that means waiting around for a while, getting it done, because then it entirely takes away that possibility of the Blue Jays having to come back here Monday. And to be honest with you guys, I think that's probably the best thing to do. Nobody wants to wait around this long, but I think it far outweighs the fact that this team could have to come back here on Monday to play a game.
The decision to leave David Price out of the rotation for the remainder of the rest of the season was met with a little bit of surprise here in Toronto. What did you make of it when you heard that the Blue Jays were going to hold off until game one of the ALDS?
I was very surprised too, Ben. I really was. I really didn't think I'd see that. And I've talked to Mike before about my years in Detroit there. And, you know, you get those layoffs, and those can be the worst things for teams, especially teams entering the playoffs, coming off the high. This team's been playing very well down the stretch. The last thing you want is time off. And I think specifically for pitchers and starting pitchers is you want to see hitters. You want to face live hitters, and I mean face live hitters in game situations. But when I heard that, I was very surprised at first. But immediately I thought to myself, this decision was probably a decision made by John Gibbons, Pete Walker, and most importantly, David Price. I'm sure they bounced it off him. David's been around long enough. He knows himself and his body better than anyone. So to me, it sounds to me like that's what David feels, that just pitching maybe a couple simulated games or facing some hitters in early batting practice down in Tampa, and maybe even he'll do it back in Toronto Monday or Tuesday to set up that start Thursday at the Rogers Centre.
Well, one hopes that, I mean, you, like you said, obviously David is on board for this. And as I said to Ben earlier in this hour, and I think to you too, the last time we talked, the Blue Jays have shown us very, very recently that it appears as though they know what they're doing. So we'll give them the break. on this one. Is it still raining? Is it misting? Is it pouring? What's happening?
I wish I could use the word mist, but let's say it's a very steady mist. Yeah, no, it's still a pretty steady rain right now. It really hasn't let up over the last hour even, so not a whole lot of change at all.
With the tarp down, obviously the infield's protected and with a ton of kitty litter on it, too. But how do the warning tracks look? And that's always a way you can tell what's going on down on that field.
The warning tracks are underwater basically right now, all the way around the entire field, much like the infield was when they were finishing that first inning defensively, the Blue Jays. It's totally soaked, and I'm sure the outfield grass is going to be soaked. Now, these fields, of course, are built to drain, and that will be a huge factor. When you get a ton of rain so fast, you'll see puddles even out in the outfield, but as time goes by, you'll see it slowly drain away. But I said it earlier just before we broke, too, is that there's not a whole lot of love for outfielders in this game. They don't really care how the grass is and how much water's out there, how wet it is. Baseball will be played even with a soaking wet outfield. It's the infield and, most importantly, the pitcher's mound and home plate that needs to be taken care of. And if the field was done, like we talked about, I think, Mike, when I was with you last time, was they had all the turfus out. They were raking it all around. The infield dirt was all good. They laid the lines back down, first and third base lines, chalk lines. The field is done and, I think, ready to play on the infield. And that's why they wanted to cover it up, so that if this thing does resume, I got a feeling that they'll be basically pulling the tarp off and going game on. It's just a matter of what this rain does.
Before we let you go, Joe, I mean, it used to be that if there was any kind of rain delay, that was it. The pitchers weren't coming back. This is 2.5 hours. But they've only thrown an inning. Tyler Wilson and I mean, Drew Hutchinson had a long inning. Wilson less so. Are we past the point where these guys are going to be back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think no matter what. The whole fact, when you warm up as a starting pitcher, your whole bullpen session, coming in, going out and pitching the first inning and cooling down, that's the big thing that you'll hear pitching coaches talk about, is when you heat up and then cool down. And anytime there's over an hour, now it could maybe stretch a little past an hour since they only threw one inning each. But once you've gotten to this point, I would say both Hutchinson and Wilson are done for the day.
If they do play on that wet field, is there anything that players could do to try to combat that unusual surface?
You know what, I think the biggest thing, Ben, is to be careful. And we talked about it during that first inning when the Blue Jays were playing on defense. The biggest issue, for example, if you're an outfielder, and we saw Cliff Pendington running for that ball in the left field corner, what you want to do when you're running for the ball and accelerate and get to a high speed, you've really got to be careful when you break it down and slow down, give yourself lots of time. You can't stop abruptly. Even yesterday, we talked about it during Stroman's game, coming off and fielding a bunt or a swinging bunt. When you're jumping off or running fast to get to a spot, when you break it down, that's when you have to be very careful, especially with the surface, because that's when you're running as an outfielder, if you're going in the gap and have to stop abruptly, that's when you can tweak a groin or blow a knee out or an ankle, and those are the very dangerous situations. So I think what you'll see more than anything is just guys being extra careful.
Joe Sinnel with us live from Oriole Park in Camden Yards. Joe, we'll check back in with you 8 or 9 o'clock, all right?
Sounds good, guys. Don't call me, I'll call you.
Okay. Joe Sinnel. Live from the ballpark, where we are waiting out the rain delay that began almost 3 hours ago. 2 hours and 43 minutes of rain delay program right now. And thanks to all of you for being such a big part of it and for keeping the phone lines lit up, and for Ben Nicholson-Smith popping in with us. We'll take some more of your calls and we'll let Ben go soon, because he's, you know, he was supposed to be at work today.
I know, I do have another job.
Seriously. Very nice of you to have popped in. Pete is in Toronto. Hello, Pete.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, thank you.
Good, good show. Always enjoy a good talk show.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, I just want to say, start off by saying that the Jays, you know, Greg Zahn made a good point, and he said, you know, these guys are celebrating, and you take every shot in celebrating and drinking champagne. It's been a long time, so... they deserved it. They had a great time, and everybody's in good spirits. They're still waiting for this game to get officially done. But if it's not done now, I guess it'll be done on Monday. My point moving forward is the postseason and how this team will close out games when they're in the lead. So we know that Roberto Osuna is the closer, and that we've now gone with him for the better half of 22 games or so. He's only blown two saves. But nonetheless, I guess my question is if he does hit a roadblock, you know, gets nervous, it just doesn't happen, we have some problems. Because really, the only weakness I see on this team is just the wild card here is Osuna. Because the setup can be done by committee. with, you know, whether it's, you know, low, whether it's Hawkins or Sanchez or Cecil. So to me, Osuna is the wild card here to ensure that this team can close out games and when they're up by a couple of runs or a run and bring it to the next level.
Well, I don't think Roberto Osuna has given anyone any reason to doubt that he can get the job done. And so you keep running him out there until he does.
No, I get that. I guess my question is, you know, I think it was last week, you know, in the last week or two, there have been two blown saves by Osuna.
He gave up a home run in a tie game, I think. He blew a save on September 1st. That's his only blown save since being named Blue Jays closer.
Yeah. No, I get it. But, I mean, if you talk to any Blue Jay fans, they'll tell you it's a seasoned team, and they're a great team, and they're World Series favorites in Vegas and by a lot of people. My only question mark, and, you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm a little bit apprehensive, is the closing spot. That's it. Maybe he's 20 years old, and he hasn't been through it, but, I mean, that's just me. So if you can, if I can see more of Osuna and just come in with that confidence and just put it away maybe in the first couple of games, then I guess the rest of Blue Jays Nation can go in in confidence with the rest.
All right. Thanks, Pete, for the call. Speaking for Blue Jays Nation, Osuna's given up a few home runs this month. I don't know that there's anything more you need to see from him.
Exactly. He's a fly ball pitcher. Those are going to happen. It's not the end of the world. He's been really dominant. You know, for me, and I'd be interested to hear what you think about this, Mike, but I look at the Blue Jays bullpen, and the one weakness or potential weakness that I see is maybe that left-handed relief beyond Brett Cecil. Obviously, Cecil's been amazing, but if you've used him and you need to get out, let's say they're facing the Rangers and you have Chu and Fielder coming up, or the Yankees and it's Ellsbury and Gardner, who do you go to? Because a lot of their right-handed relievers have struggled against lefties.
Have they, though? I mean, I haven't really broken it down, but I'm confident with Mark Lowe against the lefty. I'm confident with LaTroy Hawkins against the lefty.
Those guys have struggled against lefties.
I'm even more confident than everybody with Aaron Sanchez against the lefty.
Right. And Sanchez could get the ground ball at least.
Right. It is interesting. I mean, you would love to have that dominant lefty on lefty lefty to pitch in the sixth and have Cecil in the eighth. But Aaron Loop hasn't been that.
For sure. And I acknowledge that if we're talking about the second lefty in your bullpen, then yeah, you probably got a pretty good team, and the Blue Jays have that in spades. But if we are going to look at potential weaknesses, especially when you have the Rangers and Yankees, two teams with a lot of left-handed bats, that is something that could come up.
It is. It is. And you're right. We're looking, it's almost nitpicking because everything is so good. But who knows? I mean, they've been using Aaron Loop like that in September. It looks like they're trying to give him chance after chance after chance to grab it and be part of the postseason roster. I mean, he pitched yesterday. He came on to pitch to Ryan Flaherty with the bases loaded, and he struck him out. And then he gave up two hits to righties and then got Gerardo Parra to fly out. And that's kind of the role that he's been in for one lefty and then yanked. I think they're trying to give him that shot to make the team.
Yeah, I think that's true. And he hasn't allowed a run since coming back to the team in September, so that would be a positive. But at the same time, he's been hittable all year.
Yeah.
So maybe he's someone that you take a longer look at.
And the numbers against lefties for Loop have not been good. I think they're hitting about 290 against him, or they were, and it might be down to 260 now, but they were before he came back in the month of September. But it looks like they're giving him every chance to make this postseason roster. Blue Jays and Orioles are in a rain delay, and we are approaching the end of hour number three. Will is in Waterloo. You're up next on the rain delay program. How are you?
Good. How are you guys this afternoon?
We are well.
I tried to give you guys a shout last night. I sat on hold for a bit, and then my phone cut out. I was pretty bummed about it because yesterday was a super exciting day. I grew up in Northern Ontario, but my dad and the rest of my family is from Southern Ontario. So I grew up being a Toronto fan, whether it's hockey or baseball or football. But I remember my dad and my grandma always talking about 92 and 93. So as excited as I am that they made it this year for myself, you know, it's been such a drought all around for Toronto sports that I'm almost more excited for everybody else who's been struggling through it, just trying, you know, trying to watch these teams make the playoffs and championships, that I'm just amped for everybody else as much as I am for myself. It's just so nice to finally, you know, give my dad a shout and be excited to talk about sports as opposed to, you know, what do we need to do to change everything and make it all better. It's nice to finally be proud of one of our big sports teams in Toronto. So it's just been crazy lately.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to call and chat about that, because I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I don't actually have TV, so I'm always listening to the games on the radio, and you guys do such a good job.
See, that's what we like to hear. I don't know if the Rogers people like to hear that. They want you to have a cable, but we like to hear that you listen to us on the radio, and I appreciate it, Will. And you're right. For me, I always think, well, the people who haven't been through it, who don't remember it, who didn't get to experience it, I'm really happy for them. But a lot of them are saying, well, I'm really happy for the people, you know, in the generation above me, who haven't got, you know, who have always heard these stories about it, now that they're getting to do it again. So I don't quite know where the balance is between those two things.
Yeah, it's true. And I think Will makes a great point when it comes to the idea that the conversation has changed. So often at the beginning of October, we're looking to who's going to be outrighted off the 40-man, or who are the big free agents that they're going to go after. And a lot of teams at this point are playing out the string. But for the Blue Jays, it's a completely different discussion.
It really is, and it's the first time in 22 years. I mean, usually at this point in time, I'm lining up guys for the Blue Jay Day pregame show, getting ready for playoff coverage. We will have still a Blue Jay Day pregame show, but it'll be with, like, on-field interviews, getting ready for a game instead of going over the season that was. It's a rain delay program. Tom in Stratford, you're up next. Welcome aboard. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good.
Mike,
turn your radio down.
I'll turn it down. Just give me one sec here.
Just like Matt Brown told you to when he told you you were about to come on the air.
He did, but I don't remember if that was an hour ago or an hour and a half ago. I've been on hold so long.
All right.
Hey, Mike, I want to tell you two things and hear your comments on both. Last week, I wanted to bring the IKEA's Baseball Academy kids to see a 50,000-person Rogers Center. And so I did it at the last minute, and I had to book a school bus because I made the decision so late. So Stratford Northwestern's principal, Marty Ritzel, put an announcement out just to fill up the last 20 seats. I thought I might pay for my bus a bit more. Mike, on a same-day notice in Stratford, Ontario, I had 97 kids come. I had to get a second bus. And when I went to the Rogers Center that night, I looked all over the place. I could not believe the amount of youth. So I just want to... I'd like your feelings after my second point about how you guys have managed to capture the fan of tomorrow, and that pleases me immensely.
Well, I think, Tom, that you might be more qualified to talk about it than I am, to be honest with you, because, you know, this is Tom Volk, who used to run the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame and now with the involved with iCase, because, you know, you saw firsthand the change in the increase in youth involvement 20 years ago, right? I mean, what was it like back then?
Well, you know, baseball in Canada, if you look at it like a pyramid, and the peak of the pyramid being Justin Morneau and Larry Walker and Joey Votto winning MVPs and Team Canada being ranked seventh in the world, the Blue Jays and Expos, all those things were booming in the early 90s. We won our first world championship in 91. The NBI was formed. And not coincidentally, the base of the pyramid, now I'm talking grassroots, the registrations are through the roof, and that's the way this country goes. If you look at when the Expos left and those years of mediocrity for the Blue Jays, the registrations were down, and now things are picking back up. So you're right. The two are related. And, Mike, even a year ago, had I done the very exact scenario that I just described to you, I wouldn't have filled up that first bus's empty 20 seats.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you completely. What's the second thing?
Well, I would like to know, if you have a relationship with him, I'd like to hear just your thoughts about him. Because when you talked about Tom Cheek before, I got very emotional as well. And, of course, my thoughts this week are with Michael Burgess. I just want to say a couple things and then hear what you may recall if you had, a relationship with him. You know, Michael came in, so did Sportsnet's announcers, Jamie Campbell, Hazel, Martine, I'm missing a few here. Never asked for a penny to be the MC for the ceremony. Rod Black, for about 10 years, did it. And Michael Burgess came religiously to the Hall of Fame to sing the anthem. And it just, it made the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame truly a Canadian national event when you have people that I just mentioned at the podium. Michael wouldn't even take gas money for doing that. I can't sing worth a lick. Michael sang my wife Paula's favorite Italian love song, and I had him call her on her 40th birthday. Probably the only guy that would have another guy sing his wife a love song. But Michael did those kinds of things away from the spotlight. I miss him so much. I want so much to hear him sing the anthem of Game 1 of the playoffs, and it's not going to happen. So, Mike, I'll hang up, and I just wonder if you have any thoughts about Michael Burgess.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call, as always. You know what? I never met the man. I have no relationship with him. I remember him more probably for singing anthems at Leaf games than anthems at Blue Jay games. He was fantastic. And everything I've heard about Michael Burgess this week, and he passed away early this week at the age of 70, everything I've heard has been fantastic. And the story Tom tells about singing the anthems at the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies all the time, that just speaks even more to, you know, how much he loved this and what kind of a great person he was. Not even taking gas money. That's nice. But no, I can't speak to any personal interaction I ever had with Michael Burgess. Same for Ben?
Yeah, he sounds like a wonderful, wonderful man. A big loss for sure.
Yeah, absolutely a big loss. And, you know, and it's, again, unfortunate that people who have meant so much and to whom baseball has meant so much aren't going to be around to see what we hope is going to be a tremendous run for the Blue Jays in the playoffs and bring back all those memories. I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to let Ben get back to work. Mark in Toronto. Mark, you're next on the Rain Delay program as it continues to pour in Baltimore.
How you doing, guys, this afternoon?
Good. Go ahead.
So, I've got a jersey collection that spans an entire rod in my closet, from Candy Maldonado to Roberto Alomar to all kinds of people. And I'm trying to figure out here, and I want your opinions on this. Who on this current roster, if I'm picking someone, am I just going with the MVP and getting the number 20 finally stitched on the back? Or down the road, am I going to say, wouldn't it be nicer to have like a Pillar jersey? Because people will go, man, I remember Kevin Pillar. Didn't win the MVP that year, but boy, was he an important player.
Well, you said you have what, Maldonado and Alomar and Gruber already?
Yep.
Well, they were all on the same team. So why can't you get a Pillar and a Donaldson and a Martin and Batista, maybe a Stroman and a Suna?
I want the whole team. I'm wondering who should I get first. It's a real debate to me.
What do you think, Ben?
Well, how about Jose Bautista? Do you have him?
No, I don't have a Jose Bautista jersey.
I feel like he would be a staple of a jersey collection, just having really pushed himself into Blue Jays history over the course of the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, you know what? That's an excellent call. Absolutely. And there are going to be lots of Donaldsons. There are going to be, and I'm sure you'll eventually get one too, but Jose Bautista is probably the last 5 years anyway, the greatest Blue Jay. And yeah, that's a good shirt to get.
You see, since 2010, I think he has something like 30 more home runs than the next closest hitter.
Which is awesome. In the major leagues, yep. Not on the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's our vote, Jose Bautista.
Well, I appreciate the opinion, and you'll be seeing one of those other jerseys I mentioned at Game 1 next Thursday. Super excited about it.
Glad to hear it. Thank you for the call, Mark. Appreciate it. A couple of phone lines are open now as Josh Goldberg settles back into our producer's seat. Thanks to Matt Killer Brown for taking over for a little bit. Back-to-back tweets here from Barry Davis, our own Barry Davis, and from Marley Rivera, a great reporter south of the border. Barry says, just spoke to an official at field level. He says they're hopeful the rain will stop within the hour and the game could resume. Marley tweets that the governor has just declared a state of emergency in Maryland because of the weather. So, hopefully that's outside Baltimore. We don't know quite what's going on, but we will keep you posted and we will continue to take your calls until there's the game is called or the game resumes. It's been a wonderful rain delay program so far. Almost hit the 3-hour mark. But you guys want to keep talking baseball, and we want to keep talking baseball with you. But I'm going to let Ben Nicholson-Smith leave. He was nice enough to join us. He's been here for more than an hour, totally ignoring all the work you have on the other side of the building. So thank you.
It's been fun. So hopefully they get that game in soon. And in the meantime, I'm sure you'll have lots of good calls.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Ben Nicholson-Smith, everybody. We're going to step away. And when we come back, more of your calls and more Blue Jay sound from the celebration last night. It's the Rain Delay program on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Jose rocks one deep to left field. Yes, sir. That ball, there she goes. Number 40 for Jose Bautista. And the Blue Jays lead the Orioles 11-1 on a special home run for Bautista. He has just joined Josh Donaldson, each with 40-plus home runs. And he's joined Carlos Delgado and Sean Green, each with 40-plus home runs in 1999. And the next year, Delgado did it with third baseman Tony Bautista. Third time in Blue Jays history it's happened, and with this one swing right here. Congratulations, Jose.
Jose Bautista with that home run in the ninth inning of the first game yesterday. The Jays went on to that 15-2 win to clinch the American League East. Edwin Encarnacion has 37 home runs, and if he should hit three more in the final three or four games of the season, that'll be the first time in Blue Jays history that they've had three players with 40 home runs each, and it is certainly within Edwin's purview to hit three home runs in a series. We've seen him do that a whole big bunch of times. Question is, are they going to play baseball today anymore? The Blue Jays and Orioles have played one inning of baseball. Remember, they moved the game up. It was supposed to be a 7 o'clock Eastern start tonight. Yesterday, they moved it to noon to try to get ahead of the weather, obviously failing miserably as this rain delay is approaching its fourth hour, or the beginning of its fourth hour. The grounds crew is starting to work on the warning track right now. The tarp is still on the field, and it's still raining. But again, we heard from Barry Davis that they believe they might be able to get things started within the hour. Don't know. But until we find out definitively, we're going to keep it here. And you guys are doing a great job keeping the phone lines lit up, wanting to talk baseball. Let's go to David in Prince Albert. David, you're next on the Rain Delay program.
Hello, Mike. I finally made it on the show.
Yes, you did.
It's like three times I tried. I was on my cell phone and waiting for like 20 minutes, and then I got disconnected, and then the last on Sunday I tried to get in, got in, waited 20 minutes, got cut off again, and then it took me 20 minutes to dial back in. I think I redialed like 90 some times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Then, well, I'm glad you're here. That's so serious here, dedication.
Anyways, you know, I just want to say thank you. I listen to the mostly the radio broadcast because I work in the evenings, so I'm really thankful to listen to the games. And, you know, when you listen to the games, it's a little different than listening on TV because you depend on the announcers to bring you what's happening. And it's I thank you for your play-by-play. Jerry is one of the most outstanding announcers we could ever have. And Joe, he really adds his comments, too, quite nicely. And it's just nice to listen to. And, you know, even when I get a chance to watch it on TV, I'll listen to the radio broadcast at the same time because like, I listen through it through the phone and there's always a little bit of a delay. So, boy, if something good really happens, you get to hear it twice. So that's kind of neat to do it that way.
That sounds very cool.
But, and you know, another thing is nice to hear when the announcers are talking about the game and how exciting they are. You hear it in your voices and you hear it, the fans, like, so thank you for the fans because they do such an outstanding job of cheering. It's getting to be so loud. And we've been in the playoffs now for the last 2 months. You know, it's hard to even imagine that the playoffs are just around the corner now. But I hear it on the radio, and I listen to it every night, and it's quite nice to listen to. And, you know, I did something crazy the other week. I was looking on the computer, and they had on Roots is selling a jacket for the Blue Jays. And it's a rather expensive coat. I thought, no way I'm going to spend that kind of money. But Well, I went ahead and did it anyways.
Well, they might give it to you now for the free advertising.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just, I didn't expect, I don't think I've ever spent that much money in all the coats I've ever bought.
See, but there you go. That's what Blue Jays fever will do to somebody.
It's an exciting time, especially now. But, you know, I've been listening to the games no matter what. In the last 3-4 years that I've been able to listen to it through the phone, you listen to the games right to the end anyways. But the difference is this year, you know, we get to listen to the announcers, not just to the end, but now into the playoffs. And even I'm glad I'll be able to listen to the broadcast once the playoffs are in. Like the TV guys, it's too bad we're going to lose them a little bit, but you can still listen to it on the radio, and it's you got your own town team announcers that are cheering on for the team. So I just want to say thank you very much. Thank you, fans, and go Jays, go.
Thank you, David. Appreciate the call and appreciate your persistence in trying to get through to the program. Thank you very much. We appreciate it a lot. The Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles in a rain delay, approaching the conclusion of its third hour. The rain delay in 13 seconds will be 2 hours and 59 minutes long. And they might be able to start up again in the next hour or hour and a half. We will keep it here until we find out. The tarp is coming off the field right now. Barry Davis just tweeting a picture of that. So that's great news, although the rain continues to fall in Baltimore. Tony is in Pickering. Tony, you're next on the Rain Delay program. Go right ahead.
Mike, how you doing this afternoon?
Doing all right, thanks. Talking baseball all day. What could be wrong?
You betcha. Listen, first of all, props to the Sportsnet locker room team last night. One of the funniest things I have ever seen on television was Kawasaki asking Barry Davis to ask him the questions in Japanese because he was too drunk to answer in English.
Yeah, that was kind of spectacular.
Completely lost it at that. Mike, my question is, I'm a little confused with players' eligibility for the playoff roster. I think once upon a time, if you were on the roster on the 31st of August, but you were good to go. But if you joined the roster after September 1, you weren't eligible. Has that changed? Because people are talking about whether Pompey is going to be on the roster and stuff like that. And frankly, I'm a bit confused.
Well, I understand the confusion. It's a question that I get asked on Twitter every day. Not so much on the show. We haven't talked about it that much lately. Here's the deal. As long as you are in the organization prior to September 1st, you're eligible to play in the playoffs.
Gotcha.
If you were not, and it was the same in the old days, but you need someone to be on the disabled list so that you can take their place at the end of a season. Like the story that I always go back to is Francisco Rodriguez with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in 2002. He was a late September call-up. He didn't come up until the middle of September and wasn't on the 40-man roster even. And they brought him up in the middle of September. He threw 5 1/3 regular season innings. But because Steve Green, the Canadian Steve Green, hurt his elbow, I believe, in spring training, had to have Tommy John surgery and missed the year, he was on the 60-day disabled list, and that allowed the Angels to put Francisco Rodriguez on the playoff roster. The Blue Jays have Michael Saunders on the disabled list. They've got Devin Travis on the disabled list. And you can kind of make moves around that to change your 25-man roster around. So, yeah.
But not for Darwin, who
right.
came from the Dodgers after September, right?
Exactly. He was not in the organization on August 31st, so he is not right. eligible to play in the playoffs. But he's the okay. only one who's not eligible to play in the playoffs.
Right. Well, thanks for clearing that up, Mike. I'm having a great, great time. I was there in 92 and 93, and I'm just laughing all the way through.
Great all right. time. Thank you very much, Tony. Appreciate it. I'm sure the question will be asked again tomorrow, but if just listen, as the great Hans and Franz said, hear me now and believe me later. The only Blue Jay who is not eligible for the postseason roster is Darwin Barney. Thank you. Barry Davis just tweeted that the game is expected to resume around 4 o'clock Eastern time. So that's great news as we have moved into hour 4 of our rain delay. The Blue Jays trailing the Baltimore Orioles 3-0 as they get ready for the top of the second inning. And they've been getting ready for the top of the second inning now for 3 hours and 2 minutes. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Until then, Costa is in Toronto. Welcome to the program.
Mikey, how you doing, buddy?
All right, thank you.
My, what excitement is going on. This is how the city should be year after year, Mikey. This is it right here. We went downtown yesterday. We partied all night, 2, 3 in the morning. I didn't know where I was. I think I was down on Yonge Street, but it was a great time, and that's how it should be every year around this time.
Yes, it should. Hopefully it'll happen a few more times.
Mike, I'm glad the Rogers finally got on board with what Anthopoulos there is trying to do, and there was talk in the beginning of the year that he might be pushed out at the end of the year and all that, but hopefully that's all gone to rest. He's a good Greek boy. He's a fellow countryman. I was smashing plates for him yesterday. It was awesome. But let's get to some questions here. They were at the trade deadline. There was talk of maybe they needed in the pen, they needed a left-handed arm, especially want to go a little bit of a longer relief. Now it looks like Burley's going to be that odd man out in the rotation. What are your thoughts of him coming in and being that long arm on the left side? And also, I know you must know somebody high up by Rogers. Are we going to re-sign Price? We have to re-sign Price. Yes or no?
It's entirely up to David Price. That's entirely up to David Price. I do know people high up on Rogers, but they don't tell me stuff like that.
Come on, Mikey. You must know somebody. You're up there too. I bet you're probably on the 50th floor. You got a nice corner office. You got a good view. You must know somebody. Spread the word. Price is right. We need him. We need a starter like that. Stroman is incredible, and having him around to tutor the guy, and they're great friends. I don't see how you can't bring the guy back. Name the price. Get it done. He loves Toronto. You can tell. He's got a smile on his face. And if Rogers is serious, and the city is definitely serious, this is something that Anthopoulos has signed the key guys up for. Like, the majority of this roster is returning for the next 2-3 years. There's no reason, rhyme or reason, for the next 2-3 years for every year to have this excitement around and to be challenging. We might not win it all, but we might win it once out of the 3 years, but we will be there, and it will rejuvenate the city. The loyalty of fans, it all starts, like the previous caller said, grassroots. I've got a nephew that all he does now is all he talks about is baseball, and he was a hockey kid, and all his buddies are all the exact same way. There's a buzz in the city, and these guys need to capture that. They need to take advantage of the fact that we have 4 or 5 million in the city, and they can grab our hearts right now, just like they did in 92, 93, but 22 years is too much of a long time. Tell your compadres up there, get Price done, bring them back. Let's have a championship team for the next couple of years. Mike, thank you. You're awesome, buddy. I love you guys. Opa!
All right, thanks, Costa. The Blue Jays and Orioles will resume at 4 o'clock Eastern, we're told. However, the tarp is not still fully rolled up, and there's no one out on the field, so it might not quite be 4 o'clock, but we will have baseball again this afternoon, and we will take you out to the ballpark shortly. And get you set for the resumption of this finale of a 4-game series between the Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays are down 3-0 as they head to the top of the second inning. It is still raining, apparently, in Baltimore. John is somewhere in England. John, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the welcome.
And good evening to you. Where are you?
Yeah, I'm in Suffolk in the east of England.
Very nice. We want to know, is it raining in Suffolk?
It's not. It's a nice day today.
Wow, so it's one of the
a good day for baseball.
One of the rare times where it's raining in North America and not in England.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, my question is about Chris Colabello. He's DH today. He was DH yesterday.
Yep.
For the last few months, he's been platooning at first with Smoke.
Yep.
Does this mean that John Gibbons is not looking for Colabello to play first base at all in the postseason?
I don't think it's to that extent. I think that there have been occasions where John Gibbons has preferred the glove of Justin Smoke at first base over Chris Colabello's, and I think Gibby has a lot of faith in Smoke's power as well. I don't think, you know, we're absolutely not going to see Chris Colabello in the outfield ever again, ever anymore. But
yeah,
I
get it.
But I don't think the same holds as far as first base is concerned. I think
so
that
you think that Chris is going to be on the 25-man roster along with Kawasaki and Pennington as backup to Smoke, Goins, hopefully Tulowitzki and Donaldson as the infielders.
I don't think Kawasaki is going to be on the playoff roster unless Tulowitzki is still out.
That's the missing point there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would mean, let's say, another outfield and possibly Ezekiel Carrera as well as Pompey in the outfield on the 25-man roster.
A lot of it depends on how they put the bullpen together. I'm hoping that they're only going to go with 7 in the bullpen. I would even press my luck and go with 6, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
But no, if Troy Tulowitzki is healthy, and it appears as though he is,
yeah,
Munenori Kawasaki's not on the roster.
All right, that'll be okay. I understand. I understand that. That'll be great. I just want to thank you guys for the great coverage you give. I listen at least every day, and it's great. And you come over loud and clear here in the UK, and it's great to listen to you.
All right, thank you so much, and we do appreciate the call from across the pond. Absolutely. Great to hear from you. A caller a long time ago was talking about listening to baseball in the 50s, and I suggested that it might have been on CKEY. Also, Buffalo, 9:30 a.m. in Buffalo used to play the World Series for us here in the 50s and 60s, I'm told. And I think a lot of people used to pick up Cleveland radio even at night here in Toronto way back when. So a lot of places to listen. And on a clear night, even now, you can get Whip in Philly or The Fan in New York and probably even KMOX still from St. Louis and in the 50s or 60s. Jack Buck and Harry Carey were the broadcast team on KMOX in St. Louis. And I know people here used to listen to that radio station. Now you only need to listen to us on the Sportsnet Radio Network, because we give you everything you could possibly need, baseballically. And we will be taking you back to Camden Yards within the next 10 minutes for the resumption of today's Blue Jays Orioles festivities. But now we stick with a few more calls. Tim in Carlisle, welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. Couple of things. I was fortunate back in 92 and 93 to go to all of the ALCS and World Series games.
Nice, ALCS, but nice. I only went to one.
And it was when our tickets were down the first baseline up in the 500 level, and we looked down third base, and I will never forget that ball coming off Joe Carter's bat.
Yeah, most people won't, but most people didn't have the view you did.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And then, of course, everybody spills out into Yonge Street. And it was fun. It was exciting. Glad to see the city's embraced it. Your previous caller, you said that probably Kawasaki won't be on the roster going into the playoffs. That's too bad. But
he'll be there, though.
Hopefully he'll have a big screen TV for his Bush party.
He will be there. He'll be in uniform, and he'll be making everybody loose, keeping everybody loose, making everybody happy all the way through the playoffs, guaranteed, even if he is not on the roster. Larry in Kitchener. Hey, Larry.
Well, I'm a strapper now.
Oh, all right, good. Both hands on the wheel, please.
I'm hands-free.
Nice.
I started listening to the game after I come out of a meeting in Buffalo, and I've been listening to your program all the way through.
So, well, I appreciate that a lot.
No problem, Mike. I called because I'm a long-suffering Toronto fan. I can remember the glory days for the Leafs back in the 50s and 60s. And we've been watching for teams that are willing to put a product on the field, and the Jays have done that. My wife and I have been going to Jays games again. I listened earlier. They talked about attendance through the year has been 70%, and I think the Leafs have had a lot to do with that, because since the teachers bought them, as long as the Leafs are making money, They don't have to put a product on the ice.
The teachers don't own them anymore, but yes.
Yeah. They don't have to put a product on the ice. As long as they make money, they don't really care. The Jays show that they care both about their own pride, their ability, and the fan. And I'm so happy to say that the Jays are doing so well, and we go to the park and we watch them there. And it's a real joy. We remember the run-up in through the 80s and the 90s, and this has come almost like deja vu. These people are really putting together a team. The individuals and the team just gels. It's really great to see.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the call, and appreciate all the calls. You guys kept the phones going for more than 3 hours this afternoon on the Rain Delay program. We will have a little bit of Blue Jays talk when it's over, but you know what? There could very easily be another Rain Delay program at some point today. So if you're on hold, I'm sorry that we won't be able to get to you now, but we will have other opportunities to take calls later this afternoon. The game is expected to begin at 4 o'clock Eastern time, although the tarp is still being rolled up on the field in right field. The players are out there. It's still raining, but they're going to pick it up. The Blue Jays trailing the Orioles 3-0 after one inning. We will take a short break. When we come back, we will take a look at the St. Louis Bar and Grill out-of-town scoreboard, and then we'll get you back out to Camden Yards for the rest, we hope, of the Blue Jays and Orioles. Again, thank you all so much for listening, for calling. It's been a great Rain Delay program. This is the Sportsnet Radio Network.